San Antonio Sports Star Audio Vault is brought to you by AA Best Bail Bonds, 225-2121, or online at mybestbailbonds.com. Rob Thompson, Rudy J, R&R in the morning.
Good morning.
What was that? It's R&R in the morning. Hey, go watch us live. We might be on not on the Facebook feed today. But we are on YouTube.
Hey. Good morning, good morning.
Is that the Ocho beer?
Yes, sir.
Watch us live. I think it adds so much to the show. And hey, we get up and take a shower. At least you can do is
go to YouTube. What's up with Zuckerberg? What's going on with Facebook?
I don't know.
Why is he hating on StreamYard? What do we do? Like, are we making, he think we're making money on StreamYard? What are they doing?
I think we are imminent to leave the Facebook feed permanently.
Oh, okay.
It feels.
So y'all got to come to YouTube.
Yeah, you got to come to YouTube. That way you get all your alerts.
Yeah,
it's better. We'll be on Twitch soon enough. But we're glad you're with us. This is R&R in the Morning, a Tuesday edition. Congratulations, you made it to 7 a.m. on a championship kind of a week. He's Rudy J. I'm Rob Thompson. James Pledger. Natalie attired in velvet and Iron Man.
The Iron Man shirt and the kicks. The Iron Man kicks. Rest in peace, Iron Man.
Oh, that's right. He's dead.
There's a new sheriff in town by the name of Moon Knight.
Oh, that starts tonight?
Mañana. We got to talk about that.
I thought everything dropped on Tuesdays. I was led to believe
Wednesdays.
That...
Wednesdays.
Well, when did it become Wednesdays? It used to be Tuesdays.
It was Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday. It moved to Wednesday.
Well, no, traditionally, the digital drops were Tuesdays. Record drops were Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Movie premieres were Fridays. Big movie premieres were Thursdays.
Yeah, I can remember Record Sound Warehouse Tuesday drop.
Yeah, Tuesday drop.
Then it went to Friday. Now it's every day. It depends. Like, an artist will wake up and be like, I dropped an album at midnight. Go get it.
Now they just dropped a song.
We got to talk Moon Knight and other television at 9, Rob. I want to know.
I don't know anything about this stuff.
Yeah,
I'm in a search too. I was looking. I thought Better Call Saul was out, and it's not yet. Still got another week.
Bridgerton 2 is out.
Yeah, I'm leaving that to my wife.
Yeah, me too. I didn't watch the first season. I was in and out, and every time I came in, they were doing things. So I was like, no. Same for me.
That'll be her guilty pleasure.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
I'm trying to gauge the room today. This is going to be an interesting day to talk to Spurs fans. Because, one, it's awfully nice to wake up and have the Spurs front and center on SportsCenter. It's nice to have us talk about.
They were on SportsCenter because it got dunked on.
Well, there's that.
Oh, because Jakob got bodied
again. And a lot of times, and we'll get into the Jakob. A lot of times you get on a poster because you were busting ass and you were just trying to make a play and it just didn't work. Jalen Green put Jakob on a poster last night because Jakob was lazy.
Damn.
Jakob earned that one.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, it was Jakob that got jawed as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that was an attempt to just go make a play. You never know. I mean, I'll never fault a guy going up just trying to make a play. 9 times out of 10, it's a mistake, especially when you're going up against Jaw or the likes of that. You're not going to be successful. But, hey, you know,
I respect
gold
guys
star
that
Buckeye
jump.
For trying, man.
Yeah, I respect guys that jump knowing they're about to get bodied. I respect that.
Last night, Jakob was lazy. He turned around. He was a step late, saw him coming, and had the waterfall hit him.
Yeah.
But a good game, good closeout. We're going to talk a lot about the Spurs and how nice it is, number one, to be on SportsCenter and be spoken of in a positive light as we see the demise of the Lakers.
Dude, you can't go cheap on pillows, Rob.
Did you wake up with a crick?
Oh, dude, it's been a day and a half. I'm hurting, like, right above my right shoulder.
I think what you need is a good round of a Rosti.
Maybe.
Oh, snap you into shape.
Dude, if I do that, when I duck my head, ooh.
And you've had it for 2 days now?
A day and a half.
Oh. For those of us, Are you do you have problems with your pillows?
My pillows suck.
I've never been happy with my pillows.
I got jailhouse pillows. I'm not going to lie.
That's
my fault. My wife's been begging me to get better pillows. And I just like, pillow, that's stupid. We should just go to sleep. But now I'm like, I have to invest.
So what kind of pillow do you like? The spongy kind?
I don't even know yet.
Because there's the soft ones. And then you've got the down kind of pillows that will kind of harden up, but they're not quite as soft.
See, I like it more soft because I want to double up. Like the hard ones, if you double up, you're going to sleep weird.
There's a lot of pillow choices pillows. Now.
Mm-hmm. The softer ones.
Have you tried any of those memory foam pillows?
No. Maybe I need. Are they expensive?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all relative, but yeah. More than your standard.
At this point, I don't care. I'm too like
dude,
before
invest in your pillow.
Yeah, before I would get a crick, I was young. At 44, I can't afford to be walking around hurting. I'm about to get new pillows. I'm just going to do it this week.
Your pillow in your bed is one of the five pillars of investment. If you invest,
my bed's straight.
It's invest heavily in your pillows in your bed. Okay. I mean, that's quality of life. Invest heavily in your television. That's quality of life kind of stuff. I'm telling you. I mean, when you're talking about your life, make sure you get, for those things that you use every day, do not skimp.
Okay. Early birds, chime in. Give me some pillow ideas. Where are y'all getting y'all's
pillows
from?
You need to go to one of those sleep places and lay down in front of people.
No, I want Minix to go and get them for free, and I'll talk about them.
but you need to go and test them out. You don't want to get the wrong pillow.
You can't lay on someone's pillows at their store.
When you go buy a mattress and you have to lay on the mattress in front of people to see
that's
if you like
so
it.
Weird.
It is a very strange feeling.
It's weird.
Yeah, I hate it.
Like, I feel 12.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But you have to do it,
and
right?
I'm standing there with some dude in an apron. I'm like, I'm not going to lay here and just grab the pillow and get into the fetal position. No, lay down and get comfortable, and I'll stare at you for a minute. No, I don't like that.
What mattress are you rolling with right now?
I have a...
Sleep Number?
No, I don't have it's a memory foam type.
Nice.
We did our research. We really did. I didn't get any money for it. Doctor's Choice. According to the Consumer's Report, was the best per dollar, and I think we got it from like Furniture Row or something like that. We're very happy with it. Good bed.
And this guy has a great mattress and don't even use it. Like, he don't sleep. Like, what's the point of him giving a sleep number when he don't use it? You don't sledge. Why get a sleep number?
Because, so what, like he says, one of the pillars of life. You got to have a nice bed.
Well, you just stare at it. You don't get in it. This morning, classic example of James Pledger.
Okay.
It's, I don't know,
550.
He comes in, and we're talking, and he's walked a mile in this studio.
Yes.
And you're going to stop moving, man. You're making me nervous.
That's what you told
him? Yeah. You're making me nervous, man. You're going to have to stop moving. I did
for like 2 seconds.
You're going to have to, I'm going to have to belt you down.
It's too early to be doing all that moving, man.
I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
I'm a multiple pillow guy.
Oh yeah. I have three pillows, two of which are memory foam, one of which is flat. And then I have a longer hug pillow, which
I've got a maternity pillow.
Yeah, I stole
from my wife.
I bought my wife the one that's like double sided.
Oh yeah.
And I used it after she didn't like it, so I used it for a while and it was great. But now I have my 3-year-old in the bed, so it doesn't fit. After we told ourselves, because our 13-year-old,
you're gonna have to break that.
Yeah, our 13-year-old, we're like, she slept with us until kindergarten, and we're like, never again. If we have another, never again.
Now you can't break that.
Dude, as soon as the other one was born, we're like, dude, let's just sleep. If she's in here, she's in here. So we got two more years.
Does she start out there, or does she end up there?
Starts out. She's never gone into her own room.
Mm. Well, you know what? That's on y'all.
Yeah, that's our fault.
That's your
fault. Totally, because we were just like, yo, who cares? Just give her the bottle, go to sleep. It was just way easier. It's stupid.
Ours would sneak in. So then
both?
The boys would like sneak in the middle of the night if they woke up. You know, you just wake up and there'd be a kid in the bed with you.
Yeah.
So then we started.
At the foot?
In the bed.
They just get in the middle?
Just get in the bed. Then we started like closing the door and locking it. Like, yeah.
And then they're beating it.
No. So they would just, it was the saddest thing. You'd open the door in the morning, and the kid would be like asleep on the floor in the hall, like right at our door.
So they'd rather sleep on the door than in their own bed?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Our house was haunted, of course. It was.
Of course.
What we had.
Of course it was haunted. But they want to watch scary movies right before bed. Whatever.
You got to invest in good pillows, though, man.
I am. This crick is killing me, dude. It's hurting. Prices and
there, there's no rhyme or reason as to why it will end.
Yeah, I don't know.
The crick in your neck, will, it doesn't slowly go away. It's there until it's not. It just suddenly springs back into force.
My mother-in-law swears dirty chonas. She says you got to put a pair of dirty chonas, lay it over there, and just leave it. Now, I don't know who was the first person that said, try a pair of dirty chonas.
How dirty?
I don't know. This is what...
Quantify dirty for me. Is it smell so bad or awful that it forces you to straighten your head up like you're away from it?
I don't know.
Kind of stuff.
My mother-in-law said dirty chonas. I just want to know who the first person to try certain things.
That's a joke.
Like, who was the first person that said, put an egg under the bed?
And, well, that works.
Like, who? But who was the first person that said
vapor rub on your feet?
Yeah, who was the first person that said, try this? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's the first person that said, put a pair of dirty chonas over your neck?
Well, that's the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm just telling you.
That's a joke. Somebody said, you know what? I'll fix that. What you need to do is go get some blinker fluid and grab a left-handed hammer and then put on some dirty chonas and walk in circles and your neck will stop hurting.
Well, who was the first person to put the egg under the bed, Rob?
That was the first person who had just run out of ideas.
And you're just like.
Like, here, try this.
That works.
But no, the egg under your bed, that works.
What about the Vaseline on your feet and your socks and shoes?
If you got the Jimmy legs?
I've heard that works.
I heard it does too, but also I've heard to put a potato at the foot of your bed.
What?
I'm not kidding.
I've heard onions in your socks.
That's it. Maybe it was an onion.
Onions in your sock or something.
That's a whole other thing.
Like, who wants to sleep? Who can sleep with the whole room smelling like onions? The only time I can do that is when I've been out all night and I put my leftover street tacos right next to the bed and I just pass out drunk. That's the only time I can go to sleep smelling onions.
My grandmother's house smelled like soup all the time.
Soup?
Like, I mean, her house had a particular bouillon soupy flavor.
Really?
All the time. So I've
interesting.
Was it called smell blind? But yeah, the Jimmy legs, that's supposed to work too.
I don't know.
So last night, we had our choice of watching the Spurs take on the Rockets, and it ended favorably as they hold on.
Barely. Right, almost went to OT.
And I'm ashamed to say that it appears that a lot of us, at least in San Antonio Spurs fandom, missed one of the greatest college basketball games played this year.
Yeah. UConn and women's. Women, UConn, and NC State, 1-2, double OT.
As we wind this season down, and as we say goodbye to Coach K, I think it's worthy of discussion with Gino Auriemma. He's headed toward his 14th straight Final Four. Wow. And also, this combined with six perfect seasons.
Oh, really?
Six.
Six perfect seasons.
Six.
Huh. Interesting.
Greatest coach in women's basketball. Except
you got him ahead of
Summit, Kim Mulkey.
You got him.
I'm not saying
a pat.
I don't know.
I don't want to disrespect Pat, but maybe he has passed her.
In my mind, Pat Summitt.
Is that because you feel bad, or is that because that's how you really feel?
Well, Pat was first, and Pat was the first woman coach I ever saw speak. And this is, you know, I'm a man of age, that I heard speak and went, "I'm afraid of her, and I would love to play for her."
Mm-hmm. Who coached Cheryl Swoops, Rob?
When she was at Tech,
yeah.
I don't remember the ladies' coach. Coach Myers was there with the men and was the athletic director, but sadly, I don't remember the ladies' coach when Cheryl was there.
No biggie.
But Gino is worthy of conversation and highlight, and I don't know why we don't have him on the list.
It's almost like reverse discrimination. It's like, everybody feels like he gets all the best players, but he made it to that. Like, he didn't walk in and just be like, all right, give me Rebecca Lobo. And, you know, he built it to where this is where these young ladies wanted to go. But I also feel like when you're a man coaching women, not me, but I do think people look at you differently. And it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense, but it's like, he's coaching women. You know what I mean? Like, again, you can never get away with saying, like, if a woman was as successful as Gino coaching men, you could never get away with saying that. But the man coaching women, he's coaching women.
I couldn't do it.
You don't think? I think you could coach women.
I couldn't.
Yes, I, Rob.
Well, I promise I've not you been you around could. Them
your
enough.
Your temperament is perfect. Well, maybe for coaching it is, women.
But for those that the guys that I know that are outstanding coaches that do coach ladies, whether it be softball or basketball, they tell me that it is a different style of coaching. You don't but coach they love the same. It. No, it's
I've
good,
heard they
but
love it.
It's not better. It's just different.
I think women listen better.
Oh, I'm sure.
Don't you think? I think women listen better. Like, I think it's easier to tell a woman, like, you've shot 10 times in a row, pass the ball. I think it's easier for a woman versus some five-star dude. Does that sound crazy?
Well, I don't think there's nearly the sense of entitlement.
Hmm.
I think there's that. And I do think
yeah.
women are probably more team-oriented in most situations. But I don't know that. I don't have a daughter. I've never coached a women's team. I really don't know. And for those that I know that do and love it, they tell me the reasons why are exactly what you think.
I don't think a woman cares whose team it is.
Yes, exactly. You know I think what that I'm goes saying? To like, the entitlement.
Think, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think they walk in the locker room and like, yo, this is my team. I think they just trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, we sound like we've been pretty harsh on the guys.
No,
but we have proof that that's a thing in men's basketball. We haven't really seen a bunch of women arguing over who's taking the last shot or sitting out because Tony Kukoc is getting the last shot. Right?
Agreed. But I'm just speaking from the outside looking in. Again, I've never done it. I really,
yeah.
You've been, I know my wife. That's it. I had never had a daughter. I've never, you know what I mean? Gotcha. I don't know the psychology of it. I know what little I am involved with it. I'm not good at.
Right.
So my hat's off to those. And I think that Gino has just not gotten the respect he's due. And I think maybe a lot of it is, dude, you got all the players.
But so does Kentucky. I mean, so does Tennessee. So does Stanford. So does South Carolina. So right. does Louisville. But this just came about. Like 10 of them, 10 of his 14, he had the best. But now I think women are starting to go other places. They're starting to go to Baylor. They're going to Stanford, South Carolina, etc. So the last one he's had to work for.
What's her name? Paige Deckers?
She's a problem. And she cracked her kneecap earlier this season.
Every year, the level of game, just the level of straight up baller game yeah. is improving in the women's sports as far as just things that they're able to do that we never, these are straight up buckets walking on the floor now. I wouldn't want to guard her.
Yeah. She,
I watched a little bit of the McDonald's All-American game last night, practice.
Men?
Yeah, the men's. Uh-huh. It's back at them. It's been a couple years. And I'm watching high school guys practice yesterday.
What are you? How was that?
I don't know what was worse. Me spending 3:30. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon watching a live high school boys practice, or the two dudes that were forced to go broadcast it.
Did you watch the dunk and 3-point contest too?
That they didn't have that.
They didn't have it yet.
It's tonight.
It was last night.
Was it last night?
Yeah.
Oh, I recorded. It'll be playing on mine.
Okay,
at
I'll
4 o'clock
keep it
today.
I'll keep my mouth closed. Then.
Well, it was better than the NBA.
You can though. Tell me, James. I don't,
think, care.
It's really on my hierarchy of concerns. Yeah. Who won the kids' dunk contest in Chicago really doesn't land on there. But it was back, and I'm eager to see the ladies as well. Jerry Jones speaks regarding some of the legal issues he has dealt with, his HR situation with the Cowboys, as the owners' meetings are going hot and heavy down in Palm Beach. The overtime rule is in debate. A new offering was made. A fifth quarter, an ongoing play scenario might come in at the late stages and kind of come into it. We'll talk overtime again. The Rooney rule is being augmented, adjusted.
Does this fall under Rooney?
I do think it's essentially the NFL is going to enforce a rule where every NFL team has to hire at least one offensive coach of minority standing, which seems to me, are there any NFL teams that don't?
Look, this is my thing, and I think
they should force it. I'm not against it.
No. The thing I've always said is, yes, do we have a problem with hiring a minority coach? Absolutely. But when you really look around the league, you have a huge problem in minority offensive coordinators.
That's the problem. It's not the right. It's not the position coach.
And the reason that's been implemented is because normally the offensive coordinators get the gigs.
You know, at the end of the day, I think all of this is going to help. But you know what would be the biggest help? And we'll dive into it, but just consider this. You know, we look at what universities, how fortunes change with schools. When one coach comes and goes, players come and go. Mm-hmm. They don't want to play there. Well, if players decided, I'm not going to go play for a team that is not actively involved in the promoting of minority players, minority coaches, I'm just not going to go there. Mm. Players could change this overnight. If offensive players said, I'm not going to go until to play for an organization that by its history has never even considered an offensive coordinator of color, why would I go there?
Right.
I think players could change that if they wanted to put that. And that would just be one of many pieces of the puzzle to fix things.
And this includes women.
Absolutely. All of it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the decision is, if you want to force owners to make a decision, no, let them get the talent they need to be successful. But that's not the only fix. And I'm all for the Rooney thing. I think it's a good step.
No, I feel you.
And we'll get into where they sit now. We got tickets to give away. The Valero Texas opens around the corner. We got Daughtry tickets all week long and all these stations
what
as well.
Daughtry? I need some Daughtry music.
Daughtry.
Give me some Daughtry sometime today, Fletch.
Daughtry is one man Nickelback.
Oh.
He's got the, you know, when you hear him, you'll think, yeah, I've heard him, but I've heard a lot of bands sound just like him. He's not awful.
Give me his hit at some point today, please.
He's a talent show winner, right? Oh. I think he won. No, I think he won like.
I'm sure he won a sixth grade
America's
talent
got
show
the
or
best
something.
Voice.
No, America's Voice is over talent.
Yeah.
Take the mask off.
I'm sure he won an eighth grade talent show at some point.
I think he won one of those TV talent shows.
I won a couple talent shows.
You're an award winning broadcaster, Rudy, which, by the way, next Saturday, we're going up to Austin for Rudy to go step on the stage and get his award.
Yeah, I'm bummed
about that.
Do you
have a speech ready? And are you going to slap the guy that's giving it to you?
No, but I am taking an NBA hat up there. This is my draft moment. <You know?
laughs> We'll give you a hat.
And maybe the presenter will hold up a jersey.
I need a hat, dog. I'm putting the hat. This is my time.
Rudy,
I'm putting the hat on.
Texas Association of Broadcasters.
They're going to be like.
Sportscast of the Year. It was done back on November the 16th. We don't really recall it. But I'll tell you what. Other people liked it.
They're going to be like, why did he bring a hat up here?
By the way, I'm kind of hurt by this.
You can get a ticket. As long as you get the ticket before April 1st, I think.
It's my birthday weekend. I had a lot of plans for y'all to come out.
Oh, that's right. You got people coming down from the H.
I got people coming up from the H. I was going
to
invite y'all. I was inviting Rob yesterday, and he was like, yeah, I'm
going with
Rudy.
It's a birthday weekend, though. You're doing stuff Friday night, too.
Yeah, I'll be here Friday.
Okay.
Cool.
We've gone well past our headline deadline, but, you know, it's Tuesday. Let's go ahead and do it. It's time for the 411 and the 210.
Here's the 411 in the 210. Headline 2.
Pro Football Network's Tony Pauline reports the Commanders had a big turnout at the North Carolina Pro Day for quarterback Sam Howell. The Saints also have representatives in attendance for Howell's Pro Day. Pauline reports, can you see him going towards the mid part of the first round now?
I like how.
I'm not gonna sit here and lie and act like I watched a lot of North Carolina football. I understand how important QBs are, but I think this year teams are starting to reach.
You're
kind of reaching. Like if the guy's not there, he's just not. If the guy that can move your franchise forward is not there, he's just not there. And you build somewhere else. Like, you don't force. Like, you just roll out. I'd roll out there with Henneke again. I'm sorry. Carson Wentz. I roll out there with Carson Wentz again. Like, what are we doing? Like, if he's not there, he's just not there. Why waste the first round pick on a guy that you think? You have to know when you're talking about a first round pick.
James, what's in the pipeline for quarterback next year? That Caleb Chapman kid at UCLA, I think, is supposed
Bryce
to be. Bryce Young coming out of Bama. I'm sure there's one or two that I don't know about.
The kid out of Ohio State.
Ohio State kid, okay. So there's two or three.
CJ Stroud.
That could be top upper echelon.
Who else?
Well, I'm trying to figure, is this what we call a regression to the mean? Are we getting back to, it's hard to find a quarterback? Because over the last 4 or 5 years, been a lot of good quarterbacks come available.
That's
a lot of first rounder high were franchise changing quarterbacks. And this year, not so much. And I think we're trying to place that franchise tag on dudes that, quite frankly, just
aren't the guy.
No, and it's not. And I don't know if the last several years have just been a bounty, and it was that first batch of one and duns, that first batch of 7-on-7 guys that really have come through a system from the time they were sophomores in high school to their second year pro, essentially running the same thing, and they're really good at it. But now everybody's really good at it, so there's no separator. I don't know where we are in the land of quarterbacks, but this year just, you know, you look at Howell, and you look at Corral, and you look at, what's it, Pickett?
Remember, back in 2013, the Buffalo Bills went and reached on an E.J. Manuel in the first round.
That's what I'm saying.
That's been 9 years ago.
Though. I could think of a lot of teams that have reached over the years.
Mm-hmm. But the last 4 or 5, though, if you're drafted in the first round, you got yourself a quarterback. You pretty much got yourself a guy that you consider a franchise type. This year, I don't think anybody that comes out is initially thought of as a franchise type. I think Willis probably has the biggest. Well, I mean, we're obviously going to find the negative on this. And Rosen was just an idiot.
Damn.
Well, people hated him. Yeah. I mean, he just turned out to wherever. And the thing about it, though, he's still in the league. Rosen still has a job.
Yeah, he's on a practice squad somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I think he's beyond practice.
People don't understand, man. Like, when you come 44, you realize that guy's collecting direct deposits in 7 figures. Like, ain't nothing wrong with that.
No. There's nothing wrong. But this year just seems down as we stick with quarterbacks.
This is not what we had last year.
And I think in the last, if the North Carolina kid was coming out 2 years ago, he'd have been a 5th round at best. You know?
Right.
Moving
especially
along.
Last year.
Headline one.
Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, they are going to build a new $1.4 billion stadium by 2026 in Orchard Park, New York. This stadium, funded with $850 million in taxpayer money, will hold 62,000 fans and will be an open-air structure. You remember, the Bills didn't have home field advantage in the playoffs because they lost a game to the New England Patriots, in which the Patriots only threw the ball 3 times because of 50-mile-an-hour winds. Why an open-air stadium on a $1.4 billion stadium in Orchard Park?
That's your home field advantage. Do you think the Dolphins like playing in Buffalo in December? That's a home field advantage. But let's be real. This is not being built by the Buffalo Bills. Those headlines need to read, the fans of the Buffalo Bills are building a $1.4 billion.
$850 million
are coming out of their pockets. They are building this, not the Bills.
So it's $850 out of fans' taxes.
Yes.
$1.4 million.
Well,
the NFL gave them $200 million.
Then there's a $200 million loan from the NFL. Mm-hmm.
So this isn't their stadium.
What's the guy's name? Bagala? Bagala?
I don't know his name.
I like that it's only 62,000. I like those kind of smaller
compact
venues.
Me too.
Yeah. We kept going to those super, super stadiums, but I think these smaller ones are
Have you been
awesome.
To Buffalo?
Hell no. For what?
Why would I go to Buffalo? Well,
there ain't that many people in Buffalo.
Oh, I got you. So you're like, it's got to be 62,000.
That's as big as they could build it.
Okay. Got you.
I'm really curious, it's home field and we're Buffalo. I'd like to go ask the Minnesota Viking fan, if you could go back.
Well, theirs is closed.
Yeah,
theirs
that's what I'm saying. If you could go back to open air after building this closed stadium, go ask all the Viking fans, would you rather go have the home field advantage or would you rather be able to take your coat off and enjoy a game for 4 hours?
And not only that, it would be cool to see Josh Allen just let loose in the 70-degree closed stadium.
Because I honestly believe Viking fans happier today. I'm not the Green Bay fan, isn't. A Buffalo fan, is it? But I think Viking fan was like, that was dumb.
Think about it, too. You think at an open-air venues like Buffalo is going to get a Super Bowl?
No.
Minnesota did.
But we were, the NFL was never going was to Buffalo.
Host it
was
concerts?
Though. No.
It's Buffalo.
They don't care.
Buffalo is Tyler, Texas. That's a good thing.
Wait a minute. Let me. I'm trying to register. Is this a compliment to my city, or did you just?
Well, I'm just saying. Just Tyler is big enough to host. Buffalo is little, man. Yeah. It's really not. There's not much there.
I'll take that. I'm gonna roll with that.
No, that's a that was a compliment
for sure.
They got an NFL squad, but sure 62,000.
You get more high school games in Tyler than that.
Truth?
No.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying there is. It's more about size and attitude.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, the they held the fans hostage. They've been talking about moving to Canada and many times. So they came forward. At least they got a little bit of money from the league. It's not totally funded by the fans. Moving on.
Headline zero.
And finally, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said at the NFL owners meetings that Michael Gallup will be a question mark for week one. Quote, optimistically expect him to give us a question mark around the first game, Jones said amid the owners meetings. Gallup re-signed in Dallas on a 5-year deal, recovering from an ACL tear he suffered in week 17 of this season.
I don't want to kill this because we want to talk about it later, but it's funny that they go, oh, he'd be fine by training camp, to now all of a sudden he's a question mark for week one after y'all told us he was going to be fine before training camp. Okay. The offseason continues to be weird for the Cowboys.
I don't care what Jerry tells me. I don't care what they said a month ago.
Okay.
Did you honestly, legitimately expect Gallup to be ready on week one?
Yeah.
You did?
I did. Only because we've been talking to Rosti so much about an ACL, you can come back. He says, the Dr. Rosti says you can come back. So.
And I don't care whether he's ready on week one. I want a fully healthy Gallup when it matters.
Okay.
I mean, did we any of us expect that Gallup would be 100% day one?
Not 100.
See, I don't think Jerry has changed his stance there. I think it's a knee injury. We don't know. I mean, a 3-week window is, I think, spot on. Right? I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Moving on. Yeah, we'll hit it.
That's the 411 and a 210.
Yeah, Jerry's been quiet lately. Been over a month. And he did have to address his HR issues yesterday. But what is he going to say? More importantly, he addressed the lawsuit regarding his paternity. Evidently, this young lady has brought suit before. We knew that. But it seems like maybe there's some stalking going on, at least according to them. But at the end of the day, if there's a DNA test, the proof is there.
If you my daddy, you my daddy.
In one way or the other.
Just be my daddy. Why he don't want me, man?
Hey, coming back, the Spurs hold on. 123-120, their fourth straight road win.
You got to kill them, Rao, because they ain't going to die.
They ain't going to die. Now, did I hear this correctly, James? This is the first time since 2007 the Spurs have won four consecutive road games.
I refuse to believe that that's a fun. No way. Since 07?
I heard it on the broadcast last night.
Nah.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe, too.
No, sir. No, sir. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I refuse to believe that. I'm sorry. I'm a skeptic, though.
Four straight road wins ain't easy.
It ain't easy, but you talking about 07?
It's a long time.
Tim Tony Manu era. They didn't win four in a row on any of them rodeo road trips. Refuse to believe that.
I said a half game back of L.A. The Grizzlies are headed our direction. Let's talk Spurs. What did we see last night, and are we ready for the play-in? So much to talk about on a Tuesday. Yep. We're so glad you're with us. This is San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
This is R&R in the Morning on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Well, I think the Rockets were great. I thought we were great for the last game of a 10-day road trip. We went in and out tonight. You know, we jumped on them, and then we lost our solid, tight play. Got a little sloppy, took some things for granted. They got back in the game, and I'll tell you, they bust their butts. They played a win. They did a great job. And
I thought that, as I said, overall, for having the last game of that road trip, being on the road that long, we hung in there and we got it done. So I'm proud of the guys.
So essentially, they had two rodeo road trips, huh?
Yeah, that 10-gamer, we forget. Now, there was a they didn't play a lot of games in a row. It wasn't like they've been gone for 10 straight games. Right. So they played two games this week or last week.
Yeah, last week they played Wednesday and Saturday.
So they were home, but they were road games that they were forced to play. And it's awful. You could tell that there was a lot of relief that finally they don't have to jump on a plane and go play all these games. Right. But to start out that the Rockets were great, I wouldn't go that far. I think the Rockets offered a challenge in the fourth quarter.
I thought the Rockets were great.
And I'm sure the Spurs are shaking water bottles in the locker room with the win, but great. Yeah, but it was a good win. Let's give it for what it was. And if it does, and by the numbers, evidently, this is the longest road win streak they've had since 07 at 4. Here we are. I mean, literally, when we started the season, I think a lot of us figured we would be sitting pretty close to this.
Where it was, right.
Right where the Spurs
sit. Where we are, right.
31-44, a half game out of the playoff. They sit in 11th place, right behind the Lakers. Now, we didn't think the Lakers would be collapsing upon themselves, but there they sit. Couple things with this. Number one, it is nice to be semi-relevant.
Yes.
That's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling to sit down and watch knowing that there is something at stake.
Right. And I think a lot of us have forgotten what it's like to have games that actually kind of matter. Not in the grand scheme a huge amount. This isn't survive in advance by any stretch, but this is kind of getting good to me. I'll admit, I like the idea of going into a game thinking, you know, this kind of matters. Let's follow what the Lakers are doing. Let's see what the Pels are doing, because it kind of matters.
And the only thing that stinks about it is I hate that Keldon took so long to get his traction, to get his legs underneath him, to get going. Again, I don't know if it was the summer. Keep in mind, the kids used to playing 35 games a season. Mm-hmm. To go from playing all summer long and then to do this, he's just not, because ever since he's come to the party, they've been a better basketball team. Ever since the All-Star break, when Keldon is like finally been like, my bad, DeJounte, let me help you out, bro. You know, ever since he's been helping him out, they've played a lot better. When they've had the 1-2 punch, when he's at 30 and the others at 26 or 27, they look like a much better basketball team. And this is what we were hoping coming into the season. But nonetheless, here we are, and it's crazy that the Lakers have made this interesting.
Yes, by whatever happenstance we got here.
Even with as good as they've looked, they're not supposed to be in the hunt.
No, neither should we.
No, that's what I'm, you know? No, that's what I'm saying. We're not supposed to be in the hunt at 31-44.
We shouldn't be up as high as we are, and they shouldn't be as down as they are.
So does the play-in rule work?
I think we're happy about it. I think that the league has found that they're, I mean, we're talking about it. Suddenly,
it makes less teams tank.
Yes. And you start to realize there is value in actually being, at least being competitive every night. But above and beyond that, as we watch the Spurs get competitive, why? Why are they suddenly better now than they were just a couple of weeks ago? And I think right now, one, is Josh Richardson. I think this guy has turned into a glue guy that does exactly what's required. Two, I think we can look at the growth of Lonsdale and Zach Collins. I think we're seeing the kind of offense we envisioned when Zach was signed, and then in January when he was supposed to be healthy, and then in February when he wasn't healthy, and then for most of March when he was finally rounding into form. And Lonsdale, because of that, got some minutes, and suddenly they're spreading the floor and looking like a team that... Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the best case scenario is you get Phoenix, but you never know.
No, you know that. No, y'all said it yesterday. They're getting beat if they play Phoenix. But again, without the play-in, going back, that's three teams that, you know, could be packing bags for Cancun. The Pelicans, Lakers, and Spurs are four games behind the Clippers, who are in the eighth seed. Without the play-in, those teams, you're packing it in. Yes. Like, hey, you telling the wife, babe,
start
booking stuff. I think you said you wanted to go to Greece. Did you want to go to Greece, honey? So I think the play-in does work.
To the detriment, because the fact of the matter is, when I think of the play-in and why it matters, I think of Denver 4 years ago, who had gotten Jokic, and they had drafted Jamal Murray, and they had started a process that got better quicker than they expected.
Well, because Joker's was a monster.
Just the monster that got...
And Murray's a monster, too.
But combined, they were right on the edge, and they could have tanked themselves out of the playoffs, and they chose not to. They chose to get in the playoffs as an 8 seed or whatever the case was, and they got kind of drummed out, but they won a game or two. And then the next year, they kind of improved. Now, Denver's been... You know, they had to deal with injuries. I think that's the primary issue. They're not where we expected them to be. But what we saw was this gradual one-game win in the playoffs to a couple three-game wins in the playoffs to getting through and winning a series in two. And you have to go through that unless you draft a franchise-changing player. You have to learn to win games. And I think the Spurs now are in that process of learning to win basketball games that matter. I ask you this question. How many games has DeJounte Murray played in his career that truly mattered?
Quite a few.
Well, is it truly? Is it quite a few? Now, yeah. We had a playoff early.
He missed an entire year. He was in the playoffs against Denver when they lost, when they were the seventh seed.
Again, how many games over
quite
the entire...
What do you
consider quite a few? 25?
No, full the year they were in the playoffs, that's a full season.
No, I'm talking about games that matter, not Tuesdays in March. I'm talking about playoff games where teams have had a chance to adjust to you, where they're looking at films closer. I would say over the entirety of his career, he's had 20 important games. 20. Max. Including playoffs, bubble games, things that were eyeballs were on you, decisions had to be made, you had to win or lose it. Or in a situation where you had a role in it. As a rookie, it was nice.
Rookie, he didn't play much. He was drafted in 16.
Right.
So
spent a year hurt. 2 years.
Well, 1 year, the first rookie year, didn't play much. And then 17, he comes out hurt. So
minus 2 years. So there's not a lot of quality, important basketball in DeJounte's career. And we're watching this year. What's been the theme? Hey, man, we play good for three quarters. And we were 32? What was the number? Where do we sit now?
I don't know. That's your stat. There's like 1-34.
So 34 in games where they had the lead at some point or did not have the lead and could not hold on to it in the fourth. Now we won a game last night after collapsing. That fourth quarter was awful. Now, granted, the Rockets are bad, but we're better today than we were yesterday. We're better this month than we were last month.
Well, if they beat Memphis, then we got something. Because Memphis, with or without Ja, is a problem.
Is Ja playing? Is that the key?
Ja ain't playing.
Well, then, we're in trouble.
Yeah, they're 18-2 after last night.
Don't expect a Memphis win.
I'm just saying, because you got to play who's in front of you. But they have benefited from a pretty terrible schedule these past couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, and we get Portland back-to-back.
But, hell, I mean, you still got to go win it.
We got
2-37 when trailing going into the fourth. The Rob stat.
2-37. But last night they held on. Gino Auriemma might be the greatest coach you ever saw.
He might be. We may have the parts of putting some goat on his name. Get that man some cabrito.
We'll throw some numbers out there.
And a corn tortilla. You.
That sounds really good.
It does.
Jerry Jones speaks. Let's talk some Cowboys after 8 o'clock. You're on the Sports Star.
I thought you almost said your ex name.
What?
I thought you almost said the Blitz.
Oh, no.
I thought you were thinking of your ex again.
No. Now I'm going to say it. That wasn't even close. Yeah, you're on the Blitz. No, you're on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
This is Joe Reinagle on your home for everything that matters in sports. San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN 1250 and 103.3 FM.
It's R&R in the morning. He's Rudy, I'm Rob. We're glad you're with us. Fiesta's here, baby.
Thursday night, what's first?
Let's see. They'll do the like the they'll crown the king on that on Thursday and Friday. The King's Party will be Friday night. Oyster Bake gets going on Friday. I think Taste of the of New Orleans gets going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got the River Parade on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm hitting the Taste Saturday morning. Saturday, as soon as they open.
You get the feeling that it is going to be a madhouse.
It's
going to
be insane.
Because I'm trying to find free tickets to a lot of different events as I normally do. And I'm having a lot of trouble. Nobody's given up any tickets to anything.
In 2 years, it's going to be a... This will be the highest earning fiesta in San Antonio history because we've missed it for 2 years.
I think that, yeah.
We're itching.
So, San Antonio, take a deep breath and prepare for crowds. We're good at this. We've been in crowds before.
Right.
But it's going to be more crowded than you've been in 2 years.
By far.
You're going to be in more. You're going to see more people. You're going to be out and about more people than you have in 2 years. So act appropriately. Use your outside voice. Everybody be nice. Because it just feels like it is just going to be a madhouse. Starting Thursday for the next 10 days, yes, traffic's going to suck. Get along.
Yeah.
Get along. We're all going to the same place. Just ease back and just get there.
Uber, Lyft.
Use your
you're not
going to
find parking. So you might as well Uber, Lyft, because parking's going to be a nightmare.
Guess what? Those portalets are gross. Yes, they're going to be.
Oh, the porta potties.
It's been a while. A lot of us haven't been in one of those for a bit. Yeah, it's Fiesta. Get used to it.
I don't really drink much during Fiesta because of that.
That's not, I mean, it's far less issue for us.
Yeah, I go anywhere.
So it's not that big a deal.
I duck behind the truck on the way to the car.
I'm getting the sense that we're all excited about Fiesta. I just hope we remember how to Fiesta. Let's all get along.
I agree with you there.
Let's come back. Let's talk some Dallas Cowboys. Jerry speaks, and we might not see Michael Gallup in week one. And where the hell is the coach? Let's talk some NFL and the Dallas Cowboys. We're glad you're with us today. It's R&R in the morning, ongoing as we are here on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Rob Thompson, Rudy J, R&R in the morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
It is R&R in the morning, a Tuesday edition, hour two. He's Rudy J. I'm Rob Thompson. We're so glad you've joined us. Don't mind them brake lights. We'll get you there. That drop-off line will move on through. Go get some tacos and enjoy your morning. Let's talk some Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones is with all the billionaires down there in Palm Beach as they gather together for their winter meetings.
Schmooze fest.
Yeah, I mean, there's rules discussion going on over time.
It's a reason to hang out at the beach. Well, let's make up some rules that we could think we could talk about.
I guess the news of the day from Jerry was he spoke about his wide receiver, Michael Gallup, his newly re-signed five-year deal. Suffered an ACL tear in week 17. Amari Cooper is gone. He came out and said, you know, optimistically, I expect us to give a question mark around the first game. I don't expect to see him in training camp at all. I think we'll see him running around the sidelines. I don't think we're going to see him much in pads. I think optimistically we might see him in week one, but it is an ACL and it is a 17 game season. I heard that and I thought, yeah, that's about right.
Well, then that's where some people will be like, why are we getting the, cause again, unless you were Adrian Peterson, even if Michael Gallup comes back, for most normal humans, it takes the full season before you get your full confidence back. Like, I don't know if Gallup is going to be the same Gallup. Not while you can be 100%, maybe you're not cutting the same. Maybe you're not running the same. So maybe he's not the same guy, which comes back to, then why would we let go of Cedric and Amari Cooper? That's what some fans are going to be asking. If we feel like there's question marks surrounding Gallup, then why is that all we have left?
Well, as I mean, we of course, said, you have no, you're CD, right.
I think that's why this is news.
Well, they went and signed James Washington, which he's not a replacement, but no. I mean, it is a body. They still haven't gone through the draft, and I will be shocked if they don't draft at least two wide receivers at some point during all this. They've got enough picks to go find one. So, yeah, I don't expect to see Gallup, but this is still a work in progress. I don't think that Gallup is going to mean much to the Cowboys' offense until well into the season.
You're going to be relying heavily on that man that you paid a lot of money to, because I don't think you can retool an offensive line to become the running game it was in Zeke's rookie year in one offseason. That's number one. Number two, because he's a running back, because they beat him up so much, Zeke in running back years is past his prime. You lose a stud in Amari Cooper. We don't know what Gallup is going to be. So Dak is going to be asked to make a lot of plays on offense in order for them to get back to that number one offense in the league. And forget the number one offense in the league, because it didn't amount to anything. So who cares about that? But in order to win playoff games, number four has got a lot on his plate.
You know what, though?
I don't know, man. I mean, miss me with the division talk. Of course they're going to win the division. Mm-hmm. Like, I heard Chris Canty filling in for Key that they're not going to win the division. I don't know what world he's watching. I don't know what he saw from Philly, Giants, or Washington that made him say that. But whatever. Of course they're going to win the division. They have to take the next step in the playoffs. And with the weapons that Dak has been given this particular season, I don't know if that's possible.
But they've got time is what I'm getting at. I think Gallup is going to be a productive part of this offense, just not early. James Washington is adequate for the time. CeeDee Lamb is certainly who we expect. And don't forget the tight end offered some possibilities. Yeah, Pollard is still there. So they don't have to have the best offense in football.
No.
And they're not going to.
Agreed.
A couple other things off the blotter with the Cowboys. Jerry, I think, felt a little stung with the Randy Gregory situation. I think after all the talk about Randy not feeling loved and not feeling appreciated for all the stuff that he'd gone through and having to sign some sort of a indemnity clause that if I get fined, I have to give up my contract. Well, Jerry spoke to that and said his reaction was a town in West Texas.
Yeah, him and his agent called Jerry. Randy Gregory and his agent called Jerry and said, hey, will you take out this clause? And Jerry tells them, quote, El Paso.
That's a
small town in West Texas. El Paso.
El Paso.
And he said Randy went on and told him, well, I guess I'll get on that plane. And Jerry said, hey, you do what you got to do. But for Jerry to go El Paso, first of all, Paso is not pass in Spanish. I'm pretty sure. I don't know Spanish that well.
You mean El Paso is not the pass?
No, that's not pass.
I didn't know
but that. But the fact that Jerry said that is such a serious moment. You know what I mean? Like, that is so Jerry Jones of him. El Paso.
And I think if I'm Denver, take close stock of what Jerry said. Jerry's Father Flanagan, man. Jerry's the one that'll go bring home the wounded and lonely puppy.
Everybody has that clause except Dak.
I know.
He has 54 other guys, 52 other guys with that clause.
Jerry would, I think, if he had just the slightest bit of trust, probably would have bent on that. But I don't think he trusts Randy Gregory as far as he can see.
Oh, no. My thing is, there's a lot of other guys that he would take that clause out of as well. Like, there's no reason to have one on Tyron Smith. I don't know what he's ever done. So if Tyron Smith has one, why wouldn't Randy?
I agree. But Randy, I think if Tyron turned to Jerry and said, I don't want that in the contract, he'd have taken it out. But I think a lot of guys just, rigor. It's just part of, you tarnish the shield. The likelihood of my contract being voided is probably pretty strong. Now, Dak had an agent that was astute enough to make sure that wasn't there. Randy Gregory, you're like a seven-time loser. You think, I think Jerry, what I'm getting at, Denver Bronco fan, Jerry knows Randy Gregory as well as anybody, has gone to bat for this cat for years. I think he knows that you're destined to fall out of this, man. I don't trust the fact that you're going to step to the process and be able to play.
I don't think it's that, because it's only been weed, right?
Well, we don't know.
I mean, I'm saying he hasn't been a DUI. Hasn't been domestic violence. It's been all drug tests.
But if it was, Jerry doesn't trust the fact that this cat's going to be on the up and up consistently.
I don't agree with that.
You think it was just a matter of dollars?
No, I don't think it's a matter of dollars. I think it's a matter of, like, everyone has it. Everyone. It has nothing to do with me. Because my thing is, if you don't trust me, you would have cut him a long time ago if he didn't trust him.
Well, you're just paying him.
Yeah. I mean, but he already gave him the contract. He gave him the 5-year $70 million. He just had the clause in there. So he was going to pay him exactly what Denver paid him.
If he would sign the deal that if you get in trouble, you're done.
I don't think they thought that this was a thing.
I do.
Considering 99.9% of the contracts have it.
I think that Jerry legit thinks, look, man.
But everyone has it. You can't be just a Gregory thing, Rob, when everyone has it.
But for him particularly, I'm not going to take it out. I think a lot of players don't ask to have it removed.
No. I don't know. I don't know about that part of it. I'm just saying it's like I would agree with you if Randy was the only person with it. But considering everyone except Dak, I don't think it has anything to do with Randy's history.
El Paso.
What? Who says that in negotiations?
Which means he wasn't that stuck on him. You know what I mean? Like, okay, goodbye.
And Randy, bro, you just wanted out. But, hey, Denver.
You better watch him.
Denver didn't put it in there.
You better watch him. No, they didn't. You better watch him.
Well, hell yeah, you better watch him. There's a dispensary on every corner.
Yes, you better.
I don't know if they test for weed anymore. I don't know. I don't know how that works with the NFL. I know NBA doesn't test for weed anymore.
I think they still test. I think there's still a program. You just don't know about it, and you don't lose games.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'd be worried about.
Let's get you caught up on all the headlines that have happened. It's been a busy week. It's only going to get busier. What you got for us? It's time for the 411 and the 210.
Here's the 411 in the 210.
I'm going to use that later. El Paso.
Headline 2.
Should have used that with Michael Jimenez the other day.
I know. You weren't my
what
credential.
What Fiesta weekend out El Paso. Speaking of the NFL, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick said Matt Patricia will work with the team's offense in 2022.
I thought he was a defensive guy. I can't remember.
He is.
And he said Joe Judge would be back as well.
Yeah, all those. What do you think of the idea of great coaching? It doesn't matter.
What I think of the idea of great
coaching? Well, I mean, you got Patricia going from offense to defense, defense to offense. You got Joe Judge coming and going, Daboll coming and going. This isn't the first time Belichick has moved his coaching staff around.
You know what? I don't know enough about football to understand how he goes from defense to offense. I don't get that. But again, I've never been an NFL coach.
I think a great coach can coach anything.
Interesting.
I think position coaches play a much bigger role when you do that. I mean, Patricia's not teaching technique. That's the position coach.
I can't see Dan Quinn all of a sudden going to the offense. No.
That's
what I'm saying.
But some coaches,
like, it's weird.
I think that's just the Belichickian way, just to kind of shake the snow globe and see where everything lands. Just to kind of get different perspectives. But I don't think they're lesser for Patricia going from one side of the ball to the other. I think just to come up, all these guys have coached a lot of different positions. It's not anything new.
Patricia must fall under the category of minority. This is his offensive minority hire.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
He's hiring the destitute. The guy couldn't be a head coach, so he brought him back to realign him.
Well, the problem is, too, you've got a second-year quarterback who is now going and losing his offensive coordinator in Mac Jones.
Well, it's better to lose him after your first year than after your fifth.
But, you know, it's still Belichick.
Well, let's see what Belichick does, because he's 2 years in a row he struck out without Tom.
So Patricia is now, what is his official job?
That's a great question.
Is it DC, OC?
Nonsense gig. It's like a help out over here.
Yeah, is it still Belichick that's doing everything? He's just...
Belichick did a typical Belichick thing and said he does a lot of things when speaking about Matt.
Who is their OC now that Josh McDaniels is gone?
Evidently, it's Patricia in some fashion. I'm not going to question it. It's been
Judge.
Successful. It's Judge is who it's going to be.
This way it could be as much... as close to as what Mac dealt with last year. This way you kind of keep in the same system that Mac Jones has been in his rookie year. That's what I would think.
It's Belichick. It doesn't matter
Belichick
the guys.
Belichick doesn't handle the offense. We see Belichick not even watching offensive possessions when he had Tom. He'd just be over there with the defense, not even watching Tom operate.
Interesting. I kind of thought like he had a bigger role. Moving on.
Me too.
It's always been
headline one.
McDaniel. Oh, yeah, it's always been Josh.
Boston Celtics suffered a tough loss.
As yeah, they did.
Center Robert Williams III.
Fighting Texas Aggies.
Anchor of the league's best. I was waiting for that. That's why I paused. Anchor of the league's best defense has suffered a meniscus tear in his left knee and will minimally miss several weeks. The MRI revealed the tear and further evaluation helped provide a timetable of possible return. Now, the Boston Celtics have moved into first place in the Eastern Conference, but in their first game without Williams the other day, last night, they lost to the Toronto Raptors 115-112 and have fallen into third in the Eastern Conference now after Miami got a win last night over the Kings. The Williams is number one among 169 players who have defended 500-plus shots as the closest defender per second spectrum tracking.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Only analytics. Williams has held his opponents under 40%.
He's a rim protector.
Yeah, they woke up in first place, went to bed in third or fourth, depending on how you look at it. So, speaking of Boston, just one loss. I mean, Toronto ended their winning streak. They were on a 6-game winning streak. Toronto got them last night.
But Siakam got 40.
Yeah.
This really hurts.
Oh, yeah.
This is as bad as it could be as far as a short-term injury. Exactly.
He's their anchor.
The only thing that could have been would be Tatum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then the season's over.
I think they've got enough offense to overcome this, but consider what Williams does.
And you listen to whatever those analytics mean. It means something.
And the guys that he has to defend from Embiid to even Giannis. I mean, there could not have been a worse loss other than Jason Tatum for Boston. Boy, get well soon because that does shake up the race.
Couple weeks could be mid-April. He could be back by mid-April.
They're going to have to win one playoff series. Would be my guess. Moving on.
Headline zero.
And finally, at the NFL owners' meetings, all 32 NFL teams will hire a minority offensive assistant coach for the 2022 season as part of a series of policy enhancements announced yesterday to address the league's ongoing diversity efforts. The coach can be female or a member of ethnic or racial minority.
We're all just kind of like, okay,
yeah,
good.
You know?
But it's not... We want you to hire, but we also want you to promote. That's really the key here. I would think that every offensive staff in the NFL has at least two or three members of color or of a protected minority.
They must not. They must not. If they have to implement this rule, it must not be.
That's what I'm saying. I would have thought, how can you have an NFL football team and not have a position coach? It just astounds me.
Because it's a stereotype that
I know.
The black male can only coach defense. I don't know where it came about, when it came about, but you just look around. And, I mean, you got Jim Caldwell, who was the coach for the Chargers a couple years ago?
Anthony Lynn.
Lynn.
He was the head coach.
No, I know, but he was an offensive mind. That's what I'm saying. So when you look at it, and I mean, the rest... Van Joseph defense, Todd Bowles defense. I could go on and on. Defense.
Texans have a minority offensive coordinator now. Pep Hamilton.
No, and Cully, I don't know what he was. He was special teams.
He was a wide receivers coach.
He was available.
So I don't know when that came about or why it's a thing, but it's a thing.
I just don't. Bieniemy, I guess, would be another.
Tampa Bay. Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich.
Yep.
See, it's not a matter of finding the dudes. It's promoting them.
Right.
They'll get it right. They'll find it. We'll find the formula eventually. But I want to see players play more of an active role in who they're willing to play for.
Yeah.
I do think that will make an effect, too. It's not the fix. Just like this Rooney thing ain't the fix either.
No.
But maybe we'll come up with enough puzzle pieces to put together a decent picture to get where we want to go. Because, yeah, go do this. I'm astounded that we have to. You know, I every time this happens, I think we all look at each other and go, seriously? But it's proof is in the pudding.
You know as good as I, the players are always going to take the money.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, well, Robbie. You look, people looking out for themselves like, 70? I don't care who the coordinator is. What do I sign?
So, I mean, knowing that, we know that it's not an easy fix.
No, absolutely not.
So don't question when you try stuff, and maybe it'll work. And if it doesn't, let's try something else. I just can't imagine that there's an offensive coaching staff in the NFL that's all white. All dudes. It just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
In this day and age, you see a team picture and you go, I just don't get it.
At least receivers.
Damn. I know. I'm running back. Somebody there.
You got a brother nowhere on offense? Damn.
That's the 411 in the
Lord.
Because it plays out at universities.
Right. It does.
It does. You got Jimmy's and Joe's. And free agency matters. Interesting times. The Spurs are a half a game back from the Lakers.
It's crazy.
LeBron is about to make history with a scoring title.
What, 19 years in? Would that be a first? That definitely got to be a first, right?
Just the very idea that it's even attainable. You know, there's a long history in the NFL of hiding a player's helmet for their good. Just putting it away. Look, dude, you're a warrior. And if I let you go out there, you'll die on the field. And I love that about you. I can't let you do it. Can Pelinka, can anybody with Los Angeles go to LeBron and go, you're killing yourself, man, over a record that, quite frankly, in the longevity of your career is really going to be nominal? Or is it worth it?
Right.
What should the Lakers do? And where do the Spurs sit on this? Let's talk some NBA around the corner. The Grizzlies come to down, and we hope that Ja is playing. And the Heat take over number one. NBA talk coming your direction. Right here on R&R in the Morning, this is San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Sports breakfast for your ears.
Rob Thompson, Rudy J.
R&R in the Morning on San Antonio Sports Star,
ESPN 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Hey, it's R&R in the Morning. Keep listening all day, every day, because it pays to listen here to the Star. We're going to have Daughtry tickets for you this week. Valero Texas Open tickets. What day are we giving away right now? We on Sunday yet?
Yep, we're on the final round.
See, those Saturday tickets you can't get. We don't have them to give away, because if you get on the grounds during the day, you can hang around for the evening. Darius Rucker, Chris Stapleton show that night. It's a throwdown. Going to have Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, Abraham Answer, San Antonio's own, be going off this year. It's going to be good weather. We're going to be out there Thursday and Friday. Come out and see us. Listen to the Blitz today. Get yourself some tickets. Fiesta's around the corner. I understand we're going to have tickets to the Taste of the North Side to give away.
We are? Somebody will. Okay.
The Blitz today.
The Blitz will have Taste of the North Side tickets today. I hope I'm not caller number 5.
Well, he usually does caller 7, so.
So last night, this is where the NBA sits today. Spurs are half a game out.
Right.
The Grizzlies win. They're 18-2 without Ja. Take out Golden State. The Heat take over number 1. They beat the Kings. The Celtics fell to the Raptors. Robert Williams out indefinitely. Other bad news in the league as we wind down the regular season. Evan Mobley, the odds-on Rookie of the Year winner, limped off the court last night and could be gone for a bit.
This is them winning last night against Orlando marked the first time they've been above 500 without LeBron James since 97-98. That is insane. Of course, he can get it to 0-3, but that was the last time they were above 500 without LeBron James. It was in 97-98. So,
who was on that team back then? I'm trying to place that team.
97-98. Jordan was still over there. I don't know who was there. It wasn't Mark Price.
Well, yeah, was it Elo? Was it the Elo Darty years, or was that later?
No, I think it was Ron Harper. No, Harper was already with the Bulls.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure what team that was even that good then.
Good question. But it just shows.
Two questions. First of all, the Spurs chasing the playoffs, and I think that it's easy to jump on board when you have something to play for. But for the Lakers, and this is really for Laker fan, I don't know what you do with this team. I think the Pelicans went in the other night and beat them coming back from 23 down and took their soul. I think when they walked off the court, Laker fan and Laker player knew it's over. Now it's just a matter of putting the patient out of his misery.
Right. This is the thing, Rob. I shoveled a little bit of dirt the other night, and then now they're going to Dallas tonight. Well, I don't know if that's in Dallas or LA, but they play the Mavericks tonight without LeBron. That's a loss, right?
Yes.
So I guess by the time we get here tomorrow morning, the Spurs will be in the 10th seed?
Well, at least tied for it.
Well, they have the tiebreaker against the Lakers and the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be in the 10th seed tomorrow morning when we get here. If Dallas does what they're supposed to do.
And they should.
By the way, you said 97-98 Cavs team?
Yes, yeah. They were 47-35.
That team consisted of Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Okay, I know this year's. Okay.
Danny Ferry.
Right.
Derek Anderson, Scott Brooks, Bob Sura, Sean Kemp.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Person.
That team wasn't bad. Ilgauskas was not bad. Bobby Sura, he was the mm-hmm. two guard with Charlie Ward. That was not a bad basketball team. But that's not the glory years of Cleveland either.
No. Derek Anderson.
Tony Dumas,
Oklahoma State. I played against that kid.
That kid. Where, when you were at Tech, where was he?
No, I just remember.
Oh, just in general.
At some point, gotcha. we crossed paths. He was an athlete. Anyway, looking where the Spurs sit, I think we all have to agree that the chase is over, that it's going to happen, that they're going to the playoff. Unless...
Don't jinx it.
No, it's not about jinxing, because Portland's
Well, we're not
done.
Even counting Portland. Yeah.
They're 4.5 back.
We're just talking about Spurs, the Lakers, Pelicans,
and the Lakers
Spurs,
are
right.
Dead in the water, so we accept the fact that they're going into the play-in, at least getting exactly what we chased. And I think it's so strange that back in October, when we looked at this season, we thought goal number one, pass the record.
Right.
And most of us circled March to get it done, and they hit it in March. Goal number two is get close to the play-in, make it worth our chase, but at the end of the day, finish up at 11. You know, right there. Well, we didn't get the cooperation from Portland. We didn't get there. We thought Portland or the Lakers were going to be better.
That's what the problem is.
The Spurs planned their work and worked their plan. They're exactly where we thought they would be.
With some of the rotations, some of the rest nights, they got in behind closed doors. They're livid with Portland, the Lakers, and the Pelicans.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, some of these lineups and then the rest nights, it's like, wait a minute. Wait, what? So.
We did our job.
We
understood, like, our assignment.
That is a horrible record. That should not be a team that's even in the East. In the East, all 10 teams that are fighting for the play-in, they're above 500. Over here, we're talking about teams 10 to 13 games below 500 in the play-in. 10 to 13 games below 500. Like, you can't tank any better than that. Like, it just wasn't meant for you to tank. Like, the basketball guys are like, no, Spurs, that's not why I put you here. You know? Y'all were not put here to tank. You're going to win, and you're going to get in the play-in. What? We're about to start a new 23-year streak of the playoffs, Rob. Wait, does the play-in count as the playoffs?
No, it doesn't. We decided that it does not, no.
So if we get in the play-in and lose, that doesn't count as making the playoffs?
No, it's not a fit. They can't define it that way because there's a pay involved and things like that. It's not officially a playoff win. But in the grand scheme, though, I find it astounding that if we probably could have circled today's date and say, what do you think it's going to be? About 30-44. You know, we're going to be probably right in there, and I'll be darned if they're not actually there. So what are the ramifications of getting into the playoff? What's the worst thing that happens? They lose a couple of draft picks, right?
Well, you dropped down. You dropped down a few slots, right?
But at the end, that's really it. And looking at the draft, I think we could legitimately say it's probably five deep. And that's not in franchise changing. I would say it is three deep in franchise legitimate effect.
Oh, you mean like someone that can carry the team? Okay.
I think you're looking at, and I'm not even sure that Chet Holmgren is a franchise changer immediately. I think maybe
he'll need a year or two.
But I do think Blanchero changes the team the moment he walks on the court, and I think Jabari Smith does the same, much like Evan Mobley did this year. I think that those guys make a genuine effect. Then you get down to four, and you're starting to get guys that, do they fit good with you? The Jaden Ivies, the Keegan Murrays, the Shaden Sharps, that we didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to even see. Then we saw Jalen Duren in Memphis that really jump up and was a quick riser because he jumped up there. Now we're starting to look at where the Spurs might be drafting.
Well, it was looking like somewhere between 7 and 10, but if they get in, then, of course, you're out of the lottery or no? No, you can still be top 14 pick,
so
right?
If you fall to 11,
you still 12, got work to do. If whether you're picking 7th or 13th, you got to get it right.
Yeah, and they're essentially the same guy at that point.
Right.
There's not a lot of separation. So if you're losing a couple of lottery balls or losing a couple of draft slots, I think by now we've seen what the NBA draft talent looks like. And unless, and whether you're sitting at 12th and you're trying to get into the top three, it's going to involve packaging picks and players. And I don't think that your slotting going into that is really going to affect the trade deal that you'll offer.
But you have guys that wanted to position themselves for top five, like really wanted to just play everybody that's 19 and position yourself for a top five pick.
And I don't think the Spurs ever thought they were going to do that.
No, of course not. No. It's just not, you know.
Not in their DNA. They just can't be awful.
Well, they can be.
Well,
they chose not to be.
I don't think Pop could make them awful.
You could just play Wieskamp and Primo all year, and they would not win 30 games with Wieskamp.
But Pop would quit. I don't think it's in his DNA. What I'm saying is I just don't think they could do it. Like, it would kill him. You know, like, I can go so far, and I'll put Belly in and Bryn Forbes in with two minutes to go. But I other than that, I just can't do it.
They did it with Dave. Pop was here.
Well, that was when he first got here a long time ago. No, I think now, I think Pop falls ass backwards into 10 wins just because he's Pop.
Well, yeah, I think we all fall ass backwards into 10 wins just because guys get drunk the night before another team.
Well, you get to play the Rockets over and over and the Trailblazers over and over. But I do think there's something about a Spurs coach team that they're just not going to be the worst team unless they're sitting guys down. You know, we're not going to have David playing and still have the worst play record in the league. We'll sit him down.
Yeah, this is a bad basketball team, though.
Yes, and let's not get past the fact that this is a better basketball team than they were, but they're still having trouble holding off the Rockets on the road in March.
Right. Bad is harsh.
Under-talented.
Young team learning that they made some trades. So I don't think bad is fair. They're not a bad basketball team. They're just learning how to win. But nonetheless, the Pelicans, Portland, Sacramento, Lakers saw fit that we get to stay in the fight. So let's just stay in the fight then.
What else can we do? I'm all in on this because I love now I waking see up it. And turning on SportsCenter, and the Spurs are in the D block, but at least they're in the block.
Because we're in the D block with that team that they talk about every day.
Well, there is that.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Lakers may fall out. The Spurs are looking up at them. And they probably will fall out tonight because I think Dallas is going to beat them by 30, speaking of the Lakers, without LeBron. So it is what it is, man. Crazy, crazy season. Had no idea we'd be 13 below 500 looking at a play-in. It's unreal.
And strangely enough, we're exactly where they thought they'd be. Now, where they're landing in the lottery, it's a bunch of guards. In the draft, it's a bunch of guards.
I don't want a guard.
The problem is when you get 7, 8, 9, 10, you're running into guys that are all those 6, 7 guys that could go either direction, from Shaden Sharp at Kentucky to what's the other, the Duke kid, A.J. Griffin.
I saw Sharp and the mock as going to the Spurs.
Johnny Davis coming out of Wisconsin.
I don't want a guard.
Benedict Mathurin out of Arizona.
I like our guard.
Ochai Agbaji coming out of Kansas.
Yeah, see, That's what I'm saying. If it's that.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't care.
That's the difference between 8 and 12. it's the same dude. That's right. Why you look at the play and you go, given where the draft has fallen and given the risers that we've seen in the tournament, there weren't a lot. I think Jalen Duren did more to help himself in two games than any other player in college, and I think he jumped up in the 10. But other than that, he's still chalk.
I say I don't want a guard, but who knows? One of these guards may be better than Vassell, maybe better than Primo, maybe better than DeJounte. We don't know. So I can't say I don't want a guard, but I would prefer a tweener, 6'9 to 6'11, but those guys don't grow on trees. So you got to take what you get.
Or move up.
Or trade out and get a vet.
Which they've got plenty of money to do as well.
Yes. And trade capital.
Well, it didn't take very long, but he apologized.
It was less than 24.
The ongoing.
I think it's dead today.
Do you think he dies today?
We get to talk about him apologizing, and then we move on, and then no one cares when the next movie comes out.
Let's talk about it. Okay. Will did come out and apologize. Still, there's a statement, I believe, from Chris Rock.
His reps wasn't real, was it?
Yeah,
his reps are saying Chris didn't apologize.
That wasn't real. The ramifications of the slap still to fall out. We understand that the Academy is now investigating, and someone's trying to figure out, how the hell was he still in the building?
It might take his Oscar.
And very likely. I don't know what the action should be. Let's talk about where we sit and what has been the craziest event in entertainment that I can remember. At 9 o'clock, we'll get back into the NBA, talk some NFL for you as well. And don't forget, the biggest game in college basketball history, at least by hype, it's only kicking up. We cannot wait to see that Villanova-Kansas game. And oh, by the way, Duke and North Carolina, ACC matchup going on as well. We'll be right back. This is R&R in the Morning. You're on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
This is Joe Reinagle. Jason Minix and I will get you caught up in the latest news, moves, and more this afternoon, 4 to 7, on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN 1250 and 103.3 FM.
It's R&R. Well, how long away are we from the playoffs? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Three. Let's say three.
We've got basketball this week. We get the championships coming up through middle of next.
Yeah.
And then we got NBA playoffs. Then we've got the draft. And then it's fly balls in the outfield. And then football.
Rangers look good in the spring, by the way. I don't know how good they're going to be, but they're going to score runs.
We're your home for the Rangers. We'll certainly have it. We want to talk about what you're going to be watching till then.
Yeah, we got to talk about that next hour, Rob.
I missed out last night. I missed what? UConn game.
NC State? I did too.
Watching the Spurs play their way into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Scratch and claw to get there.
And I was still watching memes from the Oscars.
But the news.
I'm over it, though.
First of all, crying Jordan. It's been nice knowing you. Now let's introduce you to the slap.
Yeah, I'm over it, but I got it all out last night.
Does the apology, and you can take it for what it's worth a day later, does it absolve him of all of this? If this is real and there's still a fair amount of folks out there, James Pledger included, that believe this was staged for some purpose. But we did get an apology from Will Smith 24 hours later. After the video of him dancing at the Oscars party, getting jiggy with it.
Look, this is like what I tell my wife. Like, after I've admitted that I was wrong and I've apologized, now it's on you to go through your process of forgiving me. Like, there's nothing else, you know, if this was real, there's nothing else Will could do at this point except wait on the public to get over it.
Would you be upset with Chris Rock or anybody if suddenly charges were brought?
Would I be upset? I wouldn't be upset. I would be shocked. I would be shocked. I'm like, you know, I'm not pressing charges in that situation. If anything, shoot me the fair one. Shoot me a fair one. Let's go it alone for 5 minutes and let's have it out. But I don't need to press charges over an open-handed slap. Like, if anything, if I'm that upset about it, then just shoot me a fair one. But charges? Like, I mean, yeah, you are a pledge. Yes, let's go get paid. Let's change our lives. You know, $400,000 for us is life-changing, pledge. You know, I know it's not for Jason and Joe, but, you know, for us three in here, you give us $400,000, that's life-changing. So, yes, if Will Smith slaps me, not only did my press charges, I would have laid on the Oscar floor and told them I couldn't move. Like, I can't move, but I don't feel my legs. But Chris Rock press charges? No.
I mean, he was assaulted.
So what?
You mean so what?
You mean so what? Like, so what? If anything, just if I gun butted you, yes. But an open hand slap after you made fun of my wife's condition and you want to press charges? That's kind of lame.
Violence in all forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Jokes at my expense are part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. Now
I'm still waiting to hear if Chris knew. First of all, again, I've seen footage from 2016. Chris Rock says Jada's boycotting. In other words, the butt of the joke was you weren't even invited.
Yeah.
So this is the second time you brought my wife's name up at the Oscars. Twice. I let the first one slide. The second one, I slapped you.
So should he suffer?
Who?
Any ramifications for this? Does his apology absolve him of all of this and we just carry on as if nothing happened? Because I know that the Academy is now investigating, and I'm not advocating taking his Oscar. That's separate and apart from the incident. I think they need to investigate and figure out how the hell the dude was still in the building after that happened. How they allowed him to go up and verb and physically assault somebody and go back and sit down and watch
Because they knew he won?
I think that's the answer.
If they knew Will wasn't winning, it would have kicked him out. Like, they know, because the Academy knows who won, right? They know who's on the card when they open it. So I think if he wasn't going to win for the, 100th time, if he was going to lose, I think they would have kicked him out. But the thing is, nobody watches the Oscars, so they needed that. It's almost like the beer cans at hole 16. Like, the Oscars, if y'all think the Oscars is like upset with Will, this was the best thing to happen to the Oscars in 30 years. Nobody gives a damn about the Oscars.
I disagree with that at all. Completely.
This is one of you look at the ratings. This is one of the lowest rated ones.
Actually, ratings were up. Ratings were up before that happened.
After he got slapped.
No, ratings were up actually before.
No, that's not what I read.
I literally just read. Now, of course, they skyrocketed after it happened, but they were actually quite pleased with the numbers as it went through.
Like you said, you didn't even know any of the movies in the damn Oscars. No,
the Oscars are irrelevant, but I don't think that's going to make me want to watch the Oscars next year in hopes one of the guys is going to slap a presenter.
No. I'm saying what I'm saying is, if people really think that the Oscars behind closed doors are like, oh my God, what are we going to do to Will? This is unbecoming of us. They're lying. The Oscars is lying to you if that's what they're telling you. This was good for the Oscars. Drama is good. It's Hollywood.
It was good for the advertisers.
This is Hollywood. It's a bunch of fake stuff anyways.
But this, we can agree, wasn't fake.
No. You and I agree. There's somebody in the building that thinks it was fake. He's sticking to it, but I don't know what you do to him, Rob. What do you think? What do you want done to him?
I'm still just astounded by this entire situation. I need to hear from Chris Rock. If he comes out and absolves him and says, hey, man, I crossed the line. I went too far. I knew I was getting there. I went for a joke and I shouldn't have. Then I'll start to. Right now, I'm still furious with this cat that he did it and has paid zero. I mean, who else could do that?
No one.
And there's really nothing to do, quite frankly. You can't sanction him. There's nothing to sanction other than press charges, and he's not going to press charges.
I don't know. Right today, I mean, what was it? Sunday he wasn't. Maybe today he wakes up and like, nah, he needs to pay for this.
Will it affect your future fandom of Will Smith? I don't think most people are going to let that bother him.
He picked up. It's 50-50. You got 50% saying you're a scumbag and I'll never support you again. And you got 50% that's like, dude, leave people's wives out of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even the mob says no women and children. Regardless, who was it? Yesterday I heard someone say, well, if your wife is in Hollywood, she's fair game.
No, that's not the case.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, women and children are off limits. But not only that, though, what does a man get out of insulting a woman anyways? I don't care if you are a comedian. And why is it okay to insult a woman that's bald-headed, but you're no longer allowed to say anything about race or gay people? But you can insult a woman that's bald-headed because of a condition she has? And because you're a comedian? I thought comedians were under this new umbrella to where we couldn't insult anybody. I thought that's where we were. Or that's only for race and for the gay community. Because comedians, besides Dave Chappelle, you're not allowed to say anything about race or the gay community any longer. Only Chappelle has that right.
Not even really.
Only Chappelle has gotten away with it. Should I say Netflix was like, nope, we rolling with it. But what does a man get out of insulting a woman, even if it is in the arena of a comedian and on the Oscars? What man takes time out of his day to insult a woman? What do you get out of that?
Well, you shouldn't get slapped.
You shouldn't get slapped, but this is the second time you've brought up my wife. This is the second time, not the first. This is the second time you've insulted my wife. The first time I didn't slap you. Will made a huge mistake.
Huge.
It was embarrassing.
Will was laughing.
It was embarrassing. He shouldn't have done it. And after he realized that, he apologized for it. If you don't want to support him anymore, then don't.
Right.
You know?
I just don't know how to take him. I honestly look at him. I don't know how to take you, bro.
Do you really want me to get real, Rob?
Yeah, please.
You want me to get real, all the way real?
Yeah.
You know why nobody has a problem with what Chris Rock did? Because it was a black woman. Ooh. That's why. That's why it was fair game.
Because
I don't even, like, again, I didn't even want to go here because we don't normally go here on this show.
No, I think we should.
But this is exactly why everybody's like, oh, it's fair game. She's fair game because she's black.
Because
Jada's black. It's okay to insult her even though she has a condition. That's why nobody had a problem with it in quote unquote is comedy. That's why. That's why everybody's like, oh, Rudy, you're going too far, man. It was just a joke. Yes, because it's okay to insult the black woman. She'll be all right. This is not anything new. You're talking to a man that's been black for 44 years. I know how this works. And nobody wants to talk about it because it's a female, because she's black.
Does it change because he's black too?
No, that has nothing to do. What I'm saying is the reason why people are coming to Chris Rock's defense and the reason why his tickets have soared, his tickets for his tour have soared is because no one wants to see anybody get bullied. And two, no big deal. Black woman. She's never gotten any respect here. And again, I don't even want to go there. I'm just telling you, like, it's more deeply rooted than what we see if you think this was real.
I come from a perspective I didn't look at it that way. I'm glad you told it. I didn't, because I can't view it from that prism. I can't. And it makes sense. My question is,
why it's no big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. We're talking about it.
Saying why nobody is coming to Jada's defense is because she's cheated and because she's black. End of the story. And I don't give you my opinions to get you to agree with me.
No,
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about anybody listening. Like, I'm not trying to change anyone's mind. I'm just telling you how I see it. And if you disagree, that's cool. I know. I don't want to change your mind. We shouldn't all ever agree on anything. The world would be boring if we all agreed. So if you disagree with that vehemently, hey, I tip my cap to you. Cheers. And we move on to the next topic. But I'm not trying to change anyone's mind. I'm just giving you my opinion. And I have sisters, and I have mothers, and I know it's different.
I have to hear Chris Rock's perspective on this. I really want to hear from him.
No, yeah.
Because you get the feeling that there's more to this story. Because he obviously went after her, and he knew he was going after her.
Mm-hmm.
Because you decided 4 years ago he did the same damn thing.
I'm just saying, it's just, in my opinion, she's fair game. Because of that.
Moving on. I that's worthy. We are well past it. Coming back, let's look at the NBA. And what are your calls? Thoughts on this? 656-3776. We all have a thought on it. Maybe we should get real on this now. But I think Rudy opened the door, and I think you're right.
I don't know. No. Hold on. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if
but,
I'm right.
But the thing is, I can't even go there because I don't look at this through that prism. And maybe I needed to hear that. Because I look at this situation and by every angle, everybody's wrong. And I'm trying to find how do we get out of this by learning something. Will shouldn't have done it. Sounds like Chris shouldn't have done it.
Will shouldn't have done that. Will was wrong.
And Chris and sounds I said like he crossed the line. He shouldn't have gone. And he sounds like he knows better. He knew better. But this is untenable. We reached a place where we never thought we'd be.
But you can't go around hitting people. And I think he understands that.
There's more to this story. NBA playoffs for real. Are we going to see Michael Gallup in September? And have you been to El Paso? All those will make sense in the next hour. Hang around. More to get to. You're on R&R in the Morning. And this is San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Rob Thompson, Rudy J, R&R in the Morning.
Good morning.
It's R&R in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you on a Tuesday. Mind your flames and your sparks. I think we're still under the red flag warning. Yeah, we got fires everywhere.
That's right.
So
it's crazy how long it takes to get those things out once they get rolling.
You know, we see it happen in Colorado and California.
We just like,
it's Texas. We don't have that.
And here we are.
So that's scary. I think we got another couple of days before we get any kind of. So take your proper precautions. Don't throw an empty spark around there. We went out talking about the crazy Oscar situation and Will and Chris and all that stuff, and we're going to take your calls. If you're on hold, we'll get there. But we did want to talk. There's a new series starts tomorrow night called Moon Knight.
So it's a series. It's not a movie?
He eventually will make his way into the movies, I think. I think they're leaning towards a Midnight Suns.
See, this scares me. Because it's a series, I'm worried that it's going to start slow. And if it starts slow, I lose my wife. And if I lose my wife, then I'm having to watch it sparingly, and it's going to take me forever to get to it. Like, if me and my wife are going to binge something, it has to start out hot. This feels like if it's... Because considering he got to go through the whole, who am I? What's wrong with me? What's going on?
Yes.
It's going to take time to build up to where it's like really dark and what we're really all there to see.
But what might hook her in is the storyline of what he's dealing with, which is DID, multiple personalities. Like, it is a very severe thing that Moon Knight has to deal with.
No. And it's a severe thing just going on in the world today in general. So, yeah, you're right.
What are the series that they've given us? We had the
WandaVision.
WandaVision, which was unique.
That was awesome.
It was unique. It was interesting. But it was one of those, it was a slow build.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
No.
And then after that, we had
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
And that one was, did you watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier? That one was pretty good.
That was great.
Is that Marvel?
Yeah, these are all the Marvel ones that have come out.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. And then after that, we had...
What did you do?
The What If. We had the What If.
Okay.
Which
you couldn't get in on that because it was animated.
Yeah, it lost me. That one was too much. And then we had
Loki.
Loki.
That was really good.
And then, we had that was the girl. What's her name? There was another one.
The girl.
Hawkeye?
Oh, yeah.
And Hawk Girl, whatever her name was.
She was taking over the mail.
Is this all Disney Plus?
These are all the series that we've gotten.
I got to watch these.
Since these came through.
And they've been extremely well done.
But you're biased, Pledge. I can't.
James is in there. I mean.
No, but they're good.
Look at his shirt.
One of the things I like to say, you know, you're the choir.
Right.
When that comes out, Marvel's preaching to the choir. They had got you.
Falcon and Winter Soldier dealt with real world racial issues.
Oh, okay. But what I'm saying is, it could go one of two directions here. You could go the What If and the WandaVision, which was
little bit too much for the non-Marvel fan. It was just, and that's when Rudy's talking about losing your wives, that's it right there. But if it goes, if it's done like the Loki was, which I thought was pretty well done,
so
and the
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I always want to say Falcon and Snowman. The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Wow.
That Falcon and Snowman.
That was, wow, a movie, a bad movie, oh, with Timothy Hutton some time ago. That one was pretty good. And the Hawkeye one was pretty good. Is it going to, mm-hmm, go esoteric like the Easter eggs and you all your Marvelness gets to go out there and you get to talk about fan fiction and all that? Or is it going to be explosions and cool stuff like we saw?
I think this is going to be more towards explosions and cool stuff.
You got me. Now, one last question before we start taking some calls on this. Why, what kind of a name is Moon Knight?
It's a cool name. I don't know why I like it, but I don't know what kind of name it is. I think it's going to have something to do with, because with me, I don't know what it is, Rob. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's true. If it is a full moon, I'm in a great mood. It could be a Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm thinking the Moon Knight has something, gotcha, to do with his multiple personalities, depending on how the moon is.
That, his power, know, scaling is works in conjunction with the faces, see, of the moon.
See, my power scaling also works in conjunction with the faces of the moon.
Mine does. If it's a full moon of Cancers, Cancers are ready to party.
You talk to nurses and teachers, they'll tell you there's something to full moons. Those, oh, that, so work, it's in not ERs just cancers and teachers. Okay. Oh, they know. Yes.
Okay.
There is a genuine effect.
It teachers does, know, dude. I'll be like, damn, why am I in a good moon? I look up. Full moon.
And every nurse I know, and then go, if they're doing ER work overnight, and there's a full moon, it's going to be a busy night.
And you can also say Oscar Isaac, who is playing the lead actor.
I like him.
He is fantastic in almost everything he does.
I like him a lot. I do like him. So I think they picked the perfect dude.
Name something else Oscar Isaac has been in.
He was in the Star Wars franchise. He was Poe Dameron.
Okay, then it's him. Okay. Yeah, he's Poe. Not Poe, but.
Yeah, he was Poe Dameron.
What's his last name? Dameron? Let's take your phone calls. We went to break, and it was such a great conversation. Where do we go next with this Will Smith thing? We haven't heard from Chris Rock. What should happen to Will Smith? Don't you feel like something needs to happen? Some sort of conversation? Maybe we get Jim Brown together, we all kind of hug it out. I don't know what has to happen.
No, I know what you mean. You're right, Rob.
But we can't leave it at this. I think we might have what do coaches like to call it, a teachable moment?
Right.
Maybe we have opportunity for a teachable moment. What are you thinking? 656-3776, 656-ESPN. Let's go to 3. Gary, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I agree with Rudy. You know, if it was Angelina Jolie, nobody would have, he wouldn't have made the joke about her competing with rings with Brady. True. But, like, I feel like, What get lost in this moment is the fact that it would be easy for Will to leave Jada, given that, you know, she cheated and all the other stuff that's going on. But he's making the difficult choice of sticking by his wife's side. Now, he's kind of damned if he does, damned if he don't, because they say he didn't say anything about August Alsina. And then if he doesn't do anything in this Chris Rock situation, he's the butt of the joke yet again. Mm-hmm. We don't know Will Smith like that. You know what I mean? Like, There's only so far as testing my manhood and challenging my manhood. Now, I had to say something because of Chris Rock, but I couldn't say nothing about August Alsina, and that y'all crucify me because I'm sticking by my wife when you say I should have left, which society also crucifies me for leaving and making a broken home.
Truth. Good call, Gary. Good call, we appreciate you, man. I don't know where we go, but we can't stay here, I think, is where we sit. Because there has got to be some kind of summation here. And you get the feeling that maybe the guys behind the scenes that were first to the scene, the Tyler Perrys and the Denzels and those that have some cred on both sides of this fence are going to work to remedy this. Because I don't think it's going to come out through the law. We're not going to have press. We're not going to have charges filed. But we're going to have to figure out how to work out our differences here.
You do have to do something.
Yes.
Because if you don't, then it's free game for people to just be slapping people at the Oscars. So it has to, be some type of punishment. It does. I don't know what the punishment is, Rob. We don't get paid enough to know, but maybe he's not eligible to win an Oscar for a couple years.
And I don't think it should even be that. I think that this is a moment in time that we're all standing around looking for somebody to do something.
Right.
But we don't know what to do, and you don't want to make the wrong step. But
you can't have the Wild Wild West at the Oscars.
Exactly.
Either.
We can't have that, but we also can't have the situation we're in. We can't have that.
Right.
As we sit today, and we all try to look around at each other like, are you going to make a move? Because I don't know where to go on this. Mm. Craziest thing I've ever seen. It will go on being that. Let's go back to the Kielbasa Bacon phone lines. We've got, looks like Howard on four. Appreciate your call. Howard, welcome on.
Hey, I just had a comment. Rudy, you said that it wasn't mentioned because it was a black, Jada was the butt of the joke, and she was a black woman. It wasn't a racial thing.
No, that's
it
not.
Was
no.
A Front Street thing.
Right, right.
Because Will and Jada put themselves on Front Street.
Right.
You wouldn't know about an entanglement if it wasn't for Will and Jada.
I didn't know
the way they treat their children if it wasn't for them putting it out there.
Absolutely.
So you can't put it out there.
Absolutely.
And then somebody say something, and then now you mad because a week earlier, Jada had just said, I could give two craps about what people got to say about my head.
Right.
All of a sudden, you in your feelings because somebody said something?
Absolutely.
You just told us you don't care.
Absolutely.
So you can't have it both ways. See, Will and Jada have reached a plateau because okay, we got money. We can do and say what we want to, how we want to, and whatever it is, it is. Because when they got mad because Will didn't get nominated before when he did...
Concussion.
Ali.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, he got nominated for that. He didn't get nominated for that. Oh, we boycotting because... Oh, you can say what you want when it's convenient for you.
Absolutely.
But when somebody tests you on it... Now, all of a sudden, it's inconvenient. Will knows that if that had been another comedian up there, Will Smith would not have gotten out of his seat.
I got you.
Because Chris Rock has turned to a different kind of person. He's exercising more of his spiritual beliefs, mm-hmm. and he's going to turn the other cheek. Will Smith wouldn't have got out of his seat had that been Bill Bellamy, Dave Chappelle, any of them guys that he know would have walked him up and down that stage.
You know what? I appreciate the call.
It made me hot looking at it because I didn't hear about it until somebody was like, yo, you heard about the Oscars? I didn't even see it.
No, I didn't either.
And I was mad. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Further proof.
I would have to give me a pass on that one because I'd have broke my leg off in his butt.
Yeah, I think we all think we would have done that, but I'm not sure we would have all
good
done
phone
that.
Call, Howard.
And I think what the two calls, and I'm glad we got both sides of that fence, because we know we can't stay here, and we know something happened that was terrible. Everybody was at fault. That bears some measure of responsibility.
Right, but I
don't know how we fix it other than we talk about it.
Yeah, no. Great phone call. I just want to clarify again. I think my point is no one is sensitive. No one's really the people that don't have a problem with it. A lot of people don't have a problem with it and are sensitive to it because she's a black woman and nobody really gives a damn. I'm not saying that the joke was racial. But that was a great phone call, Howard. Again, and I'm not trying to change anyone's mind. If you feel like Howard did, more power to you, man. It's good to have healthy discussions. I'm fine with that. I'm used to it.
But I think we need, not clarification is not the term, but I do think we need to sum this up.
It's going to be tough. That's a lot of something.
But I think from those calls, and I think we could go
we got
on
both
with
sides
calls,
of it, right?
And it's going to go that route
right.
because I'm on both sides of this. I'm mad at him. I'm mad at him. I'm mad at this. I'm mad at that.
No, he is right. You are. They are open book, and they have. Jada did say that. It did. I mean, we all say that. Everybody says that. You know, like, oh, I don't care if you're talking about me, blah 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 blah. But deep down, do you really care about it? Obviously, you do. And even if she didn't, Will did.
And I'm also getting a little bit tired of, well, you live in that arena. I should be able to talk about
thank
it.
Thank you.
I'm getting a little tired of that,
you
too.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what I heard. Like, well, your wife is fair game if she's in Hollywood. What?
No, you're really not.
What? Leave the woman alone.
But at the same time, you are in the arena, have thicker skin. I mean, you have to accept some of it. I think we all agree there.
I've got, Rob, I think you and I both have been called everything under the sun.
Absolutely.
In 20 years on radio.
I've been there on both sides.
I had no choice but to develop thick skin.
So we all know this is the business we've chosen. Yes. I tell that to people when we talk about our business. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad.
I've been called everything. Everything.
And yeah, it hurts.
You just use the block button.
You just move on. But at the same time, you shouldn't have the right to know that I'm going to move on and nothing's going to happen to you.
Right.
So we're all there coming from our own prism point of view. But we know this. This isn't how we end this. We can't just let it float off into the ether and let it. I think this is an opportunity for us to find some traction. Yeah. I don't know where the traction's going to be, but I can't imagine just leaving it here. And I think the next step on this is I need to hear from Chris Rock. And I'd like to hear from Jada.
I think Chris is still highly upset and doesn't want to say anything crazy, even though he has every right to. Mm-hmm. When someone slaps you, but I think Chris is still putting it all together and raising his ticket prices. Because nobody likes to see anybody get bullied. So I'm not shocked that his ticket sales have soared through the roof.
Hey, let's go to break. We're up against it. We appreciate everybody's phone calls. It's a delicate subject, but what I get the sense of is we're all outraged. We're all upset at this.
Both sides.
Yeah, everybody's mad. So we know that we've touched a nerve that needs to be addressed. If we're all upset, let's stay on this. Because obviously we've peeled a scab that maybe we can create a scar.
Right.
We'll be right back. You're on R&R in the Morning. This is San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
It's like breakfast tacos with the hot stuff. Rob Thompson, Rudy J. R&R in the Morning on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN 1250 and 103.3 FM.
It's R&R in the Morning. Forgive us. The toys have arrived.
No, they haven't.
Well, for one of us, Rudy J is the recipient of a brand new Dell laptop.
Thank you, Alpha Media. Thanks, Rob, for putting me on the list.
You on the list, but I didn't put you in front of me.
Alpha, y'all been taking good care of me since July, since I got here, man. Thank y'all.
I'm going to need you to start doing the stuff that I have to do.
I for real appreciate y'all, man. No, you know.
Oh no! There's
I appreciate.
There's strings attached.
Oh yeah.
You gotta
do my stuff.
There's some things you're gonna have to do and some responsibilities that you have inherited now that you're the one with the new toy.
No excuses now.
Look, you got your sign. Look, you're
Sports Star, baby.
You got your sign and everything. Welcome back to R&R in the Morning.
Oh yeah, I need to
put. We're a $5 radio station. We got it right.
Oh yeah.
Let's get your headlines.
Want to do headlines? Let's do headlines.
Yeah, let's get everybody caught up. We missed them in the last round, and we want to make sure you're caught up. We call it he's working. He's working.
He ain't ready.
If he had a brand new laptop, I think he'd be on top of this. Out. I think he would be on top of this if he had it already. Let's do it, the 411 and the 210.
Here's the 411 in the 210. Headline 2.
Sorry, had to put things in place.
That's all right.
Wasn't ready for
if
that.
If you had a laptop.
No, that wouldn't help. Maybe a desktop.
Is that a Latitude, Rudy?
Yes.
Latitude? What's that?
I don't know.
It's like a make, model.
Doesn't say. Whatever it is, it's nice.
Headline 2.
So... Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield remains on the Cleveland Browns roster 10 days after the team traded for Deshaun Watson. Nevertheless, the Browns have every plan to part ways with him, as head coach Kevin Stefanski said during media availability at the league meetings. Quote, "I think everyone understands the situation, and we're hoping that it's resolved soon," end quote.
Carolina, here he comes.
I don't know where. Well, no, because he came out and said, well, Carolina came out and said they didn't want him. And then he came out and said, well, I don't want y'all either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like I said, Seattle or New Orleans. That's what it feels like to me. But I know they want to get
Winning on Winston.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it feels like they're done. They're just trying to find someone to take him for.
I think Baker.
They don't want to give him up. They don't want to give him away for a fourth round pick. But right now, no one's going to give you anything because they know you have to release him.
Yeah. There's no trades coming.
This is a Garoppolo situation.
$18 million tied up in him.
Like Garoppolo, yes. They could say, hey, we're not releasing him. Like, you still going to have to come off something for Garoppolo. Baker, they know that situation is toxic. So no one's offering you anything for Baker right now.
He won't have a team until June.
Yeah, it's not that he can't play. It's just they're hamstrung.
Yeah, but I think you're going to have those June 1 cuts. I think he's going to go through the draft. I think he's going to be a Cleveland Brown until those June 1 cuts when teams can start moving some money around again.
Right.
But he's stuck. Moving on. As he wishes he was.
LeBron James says his left ankle felt horrible after turning it in the first half of the Lakers' 116-108 loss to the Pelicans on Sunday, and his availability tonight in Dallas is in question as LA is in the crucial final stretch, only leading the Spurs by half game for that final play-in spot.
I don't know if he... I think he would, in a perfect world, he wins the scoring title and they don't make the playoffs. I think he's done with this season.
Oh, he's done. He's playing for
himself. I don't
think
he even cares.
No, he doesn't. He's playing for
himself. No, when I say doesn't care, I mean, like, yo, this season's a wash. No. Even if we get in, Phoenix is going to beat our brains in. So what's the purpose? But I think he does want to lead the league in scoring this season. I think that was one of his goals, clearly.
And I think he'll go get it. But the most LeBron thing LeBron has ever said is when, you know, most athletes' response when you, how's your ankle? I'll be all right. I need some treatment. Most athletes don't go, man, this is awful. This really hurts.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very strange reply, but that's very LeBron. He's always been very open about the injuries. Where most,
or
most
is
guys
he playing it up so when he
well,
comes out?
No, I think that's LeBron. Exactly. He's playing it up. I think he's hurt. How are you doing? Oh.
It'll be amazing if I can play on Tuesday.
Yeah, I fought my way through on that one.
Like we talked about before the show, though, Rob, there's a certain amount of games he has to play. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's sitting out the rest of the season.
No. He's going to get the minimum game minutes that he needs to lead the league in scoring.
He will do that.
Will be that. And that will be it.
Yeah.
And there's no way that the Lakers are going to get him to sit down. So that could end up, maybe that'll help the Spurs if LeBron has to go get a 40-point night to go win a title and win a game. Maybe it'll keep the Spurs from the playoffs, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll get his points. He will sit down, and the Lakers will win maybe one more game to close the season out. Moving along.
Headline zero.
Speaking of LeBron, taking a look at the standings, the Lakers take on the Mavericks tonight as San Antonio is just a half game back of them for the 10th spot in the West. And they own the tiebreaker, meaning they can overtake them if the Lakers fall tonight. The Nuggets sit two games in front of the Timberwolves in the sixth spot in the West, which keeps them out of the play-in tournament. Miami overtook the number one seed in the East with a 123-100 win over the Kings, while the Celtics had a short-lived stay at number one in the East, falling to third after a 115-112 loss to the Raptors, who sit tied for sixth with the Bulls, sitting a game ahead of Cleveland, who is in seventh in the play-in tournament currently.
I like the gamesmanship that's going to go on in the East when you start looking at playoff matchups.
Because it's the one seed, again, do you really want to have to play Brooklyn in round one?
No, you do not want the Nets.
So, do you want the one seed? I mean, first of all, they still got to do the play-in.
I mean,
they still have to get in.
If I'm Toronto, I want Brooklyn in the play-in because that means they're coming to Toronto, which means they can't have Kyrie.
But if I'm Miami or Philadelphia or Milwaukee, I didn't work my ass off all year to have to take on KD and Kyrie in the first round.
So the 7 and 8, they play each other, but they would have to play. If the 8 loses, then they play the winner of 9-10. Right. Okay. But if Brooklyn wins, they have to beat Toronto twice.
Yes, but the upper seed only has to win once.
But that game would be in Toronto, and Kyrie can't go.
Right. The 7 and 8 seed only have to win one game. Doesn't matter which one it is.
The lower seed has to win two.
The lower seed has to win two.
I don't want to play an 8 seed.
I'm telling you, if I'm Miami, I'm looking at that 8 seed going, and I don't, quite frankly, Toronto's no walk in the park.
No.
You know what I mean?
You just saw what they did last night to the Celtics.
So we're going to see some strategic rest applied as we finish up the year between the Heat, Sixers, Bucks, and Celtics. And if the Bulls can maybe turn it around, maybe even they're involved in this, although it looks like they peaked a little early.
So who's it sitting at one right now?
The Heat sit right now at one. The Sixers at two and the Bucks at three.
I would, if it all works out and Brooklyn comes out as the eighth, I'm taking Brooklyn to beat Miami. I'm just saying.
You work all season to get a one or a two seed, and you get to take on KD
and Kyrie.
It just seems ridiculous. And the Western side is pretty cut and dry. There's not a whole lot of gamesmanship to be had. You can look at the 4-5. Maybe there might be a change with the Mavs and the Jazz and the Nugs. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to catch those three. And I think that the Clippers, Pels, Lakers, and Spurs, it's a crapshoot. But I don't think that one or two in the West has any concern about eight or nine in the West.
Not like over there.
Not on the other side.
Because even if it's Toronto, you know?
Yeah, I don't want them on the road. I don't care who you are. Moving on. This is going to be great.
That's the 411 and a 210.
And I will continue with this. Now, it might bear out very differently when you go through the playoffs, but the East is just better top to bottom. It's a better conference.
Who's winning the national title, Rob?
That doesn't – well, I kind of like whoever comes out of the West because I think it'll be an easier skate to get to the finals.
Oh.
But I think it's Phoenix's year. I think Chris Paul's going to walk away with a ring. Finally get it.
Yes. Tough to bet against that Greek.
Oh, the only reason I say that is I just feel like coming out of the East is going to be one heavyweight fight after another.
Yeah, and see, the other thing I lean on is KD took the Bucks to seven by himself.
By himself.
Because Harden had the hamstring the whole time and Kyrie was hurt. So, and he almost did it. What'd that go to overtime and his toe was on the line? My memory's bad. I'm getting older.
Too big a shoe.
Yeah, his shoe's too big. With a size 20, crossed that line. Interesting.
We're going to put a bow on the show. Look forward to halftime and the Blitz. We're glad you're with us today. This is R&R in the Morning, and you're on San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN AM 1250 and 103.3 FM.
Hey, this is Michael Jimenez. Have lunch with me on Halftime today at noon. San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN 1250 and 103.3 FM.
It's R&R in the Morning. He's Rudy J. I'm Rob Thompson. We thank you for joining us today. Halftime gets going at noon. It's Tuesday. That means Teague will be in Nicasa.
Oh, her and Jimenez are hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure that there'll be some discussion regarding Will Smith.
A little bit.
We will be in studio today and tomorrow, and then we hit the road. We'll be at the Valero Texas Open on Thursday and Friday, coming to you from the beautiful 18th hole. Man, I'm excited about this.
I am, too. I've been to Valero Texas Open as a patron to go, hang out, but never broadcasted from there. So
a couple years ago, I got in trouble.
Why, you're saying it's the Blitz too loud while people were putting? What hole were y'all on?
We normally set up in between the tee box and the pin on the 18th.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the press area where you can go and get the printouts and watch the screens and hang out with all the golf writers. And I'm always amazed by the number of golf writers.
There's a lot.
There's like 35 golf writers. That's their beat. They just travel around. You'd think one could handle it. But, we were on they put us outside, and they tried to put us in one of those, it looks like where the drummer drums, and they put the plexiglass in front of you.
Right.
When you're at church, and they don't want the band to overwhelm
so the drummer can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could see the drummer, but they're in a plexiglass box. They put us in, they didn't put us in that initially. And I was coming in and I was late and screamed the Blitz. And
what happened?
Court monitor came over and said, can you guys keep it down? And I said, I'm doing radio. I don't know how I can do that. And then they moved us inside. Or moved us further down, a little bit closer to the pin, to the tee box. So I don't know exactly where we're going to be, but I have a feeling we'll be right there. And we're going to be there early.
Yeah, see, by the time We won't see a golfer before we're off air.
And it's going to be great. We're going to be there all day.
Yeah, I'm not leaving.
Come by and see us.
I'm not leaving. We get off air at 10. I'm going straight over to the 16th, the par 3, and I'm going to sit there and drink water.
That's it, water.
Just water.
Because you got to remain hydrated.
Got to stay hydrated.
There's a guy named Daughtry who's coming in concert here to San Antonio. Let me find the date here. He will be here May the 16th at the beautiful Tobin Center. You want to go? You guys want to go? Anybody in the room want to go?
I want to go to Tobin Center. I don't know about Daughtry.
James?
Oh, I think we should reward our loyal listeners.
Yes, me too.
656-3776, 656-ESPN are the numbers you need to call for the Kielbasa Bacon phone lines. Chris Daughtry, I'm trying to place a song that Chris Daughtry has done. And every time I think of him, I think I'm probably listening to a Nickelback song. I'm trying to find a way
to describe him to the people that don't know him.
Yeah, that don't know, or find a way that we're giving away the tickets to the truest of the Daughtry fans.
Yeah, because I don't really remember Nickelback either, so I'm struggling.
I think a lot of people got.
But a lot of people didn't. Was Nickelback one of those on the fence bands where either you loved them or you hated them?
They're universally reviled, and I can't figure out why.
But everybody knows all of their songs.
Yes.
So they were so popular that every song they dropped was a radio hit, so it got annoying to everyone.
Yeah, they became...
So because they're successful, you see how we are?
They became loved to be hated.
You see how people are? Like, you have so many hit records, we have to hate you. How insane does that sound? Like, think about that. Like, because you're on the radio all day, we hate you.
Well, they did that. One of the Nickelback songs is the rock star song where they're going to... No, I want to be a rock star, and I want to.
Oh.
That's a Nickelback song, and I think bands heard that and like, hey man, you're.
Wait, which one? Hey now.
No, it's one. Like.
Hey, I want to be a rock star.
Okay. Don't you wish we had all of our computer components so we could actually play that?
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
Annoying. So
is that Daughtry in mono?
Now see that. That sounds like something people would play at the jukebox.
Yeah, I'm not disparaging Daughtry. I think it's going to be a good show. I'm just trying to distinguish between that Nickelback. If you want to go,
what to compare him to?
If you want to go, get on the phone 656-3776, 656-ESPN. We're going to give you a pair right now, just because you're here. And really, 99% of success is just showing up. So if you get on the phone, make that call. You're going to go see Daughtry. We're going to have tickets to give away all week. We got Valero, Texas, open tickets to give away this evening. We also will be giving away Heights Night. We got tickets for that as well. This fiesta is going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. My sister and my brother-in-law are coming down this weekend just to go to Taste of New Orleans because it's been so long. Can't wait. But again, I'm going to pick and choose because you know the Niosa guy hooked us up. We got some Niosa tickets. So I got to do Niosa. Got to do the Taste of New Orleans. Now, anything else, I'm on the fence because I know it's going to be crazy.
See, and I think for the next couple of days, I'm going to reinforce the fact.
I want to do Northside, though. I've never done Northside.
That we haven't spent a lot of time together over the last couple of years.
You worried? You think it's going to be a lot of fights, Rob?
No, not fights. What I just think that we are, it's kind of like when you're looking forward to something for a long time and you really, really want to make it matter. And you try really hard to make it unique and memorable and you try so hard you ruin it for yourself.
Yes.
I think we're all headed toward Fiesta thinking it's going to be the best Fiesta we've ever had. And we're going to run into crowds unlike we've ever seen. We're going to run into traffic, the likes of which we're not used to. We're going to run into the cost of things being higher than we remember.
That too.
It's all going to happen.
And, of course, it finally gets hot now.
And it's going to be hot. And the portalettes are going to be awful. And the lines are going to be long. But it's Fiesta. Just remember, everybody just take a deep breath. It's going to be fun. But I think we all have to remember that, yes, guess what? Fiesta's really crowded and sweaty and hot and expensive.
And more expensive now.
And yeah, it's going to be more expensive. So don't bitch about the cost. It is what it is. Just choose appropriately. But let's all have a good time together.
Hey, at least, and I think they moved it up, Rob, because they're like, oh, payday's the first. Let's start it that weekend.
Well, that's a true statement.
We need to make, we got to recoup some money. Let's start it on the first when everybody gets paid.
Those corner, the loan places that you can, they're going to be busy. Remember, the VIG on those things is kind of high, so I've been told. So maybe Oyster Bake shouldn't be in the offing if you have to go get one of those.
You an Oyster Bake guy?
I used to love Oyster Bake.
You said used.
I would consider going back again this year. I don't think I'm going to make it this year, but that doesn't mean I don't.
So
like
what's
it.
Your Fiesta outlook?
Well, I will certainly there. I'll hit Niosa probably twice.
Okay.
I will be at the Taste of the North Side.
Okay.
Oh, show. My mother and my family always do a parade. I'll probably get roped into one of those. Although I'm going to have to fill for Jimenez on Fiesta Friday.
Who? First of all.
Yeah.
Who? He just got hired.
I know.
And you trying to get off Fiesta Friday? It's, like, you still see what's wrong with Diva. These youngsters, man?
See, Mike Jimenez, he's the only person I've ever known who takes great pride in being a diva other than a few select wide receivers.
Jimenez has got some diva in
him. Oh, very much so. So he takes great pride in the fact that he's taking days off right in the middle of Fiesta. Takes great pride
shaking
in the fact
my head.
That he is a constant thorn in his